outstanding product.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
Saturday, March 28, 2024, the show award-winning Gibbonation Media Assassination, episode 1646.
This is No Agenda.
Counting chemtrails and broadcasting live from the heart of the Texas Hill Country here in FEMA Region Number 6 in the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where we want to remind you that weather is not climate unless it is. I'm John C. Dvorak.
Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
That's right. Beautiful day here in Hill Country, Fredericksburg, Texas. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. We had a couple
it's
of
nice
cold
out months. Here, too. It's supposed to be raining.
Oh, sorry to hear that. Yeah. What are the algos telling you to be worried about today, everybody? Please check yourself. Check your amygdala. Make sure you're worried about all the right things. Hey, before we even get started, I want to say, you know, Tina's on her way to Florida. So she actually left yesterday. So I had a chance to watch the movie produced by Dana Brunetti, No Agenda executive producer, Gran Turismo.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I have seen a lot of race movies. I would say this is the best one. It should receive,
I agree.
It should receive an Oscar for something.
Well, too late.
No, I know. And I also, yes,
I have to say, I got to see it on IMAX, so you can imagine.
Oh, I bet that was, I mean, it's, everyone had warned me it starts a little slow, and granted, it did a little bit for a second, I'm like,
Yeah, it does start a little slow.
But
it speeds up like a car.
Yeah, yeah, it was so good. And I loved the casting of Jan's mom, Gary Halliwell, Spice Girl.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. I thought it was great casting to put her in.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Well, that, because that means that even you and I can get into his movies.
Like, yeah, right.
If you'll put a Spice Girl in your racing movie, come on, we can get in there. And congratulations to Ashlyn Speed, number 32, No Agenda Racer. She's racing F4.
Yeah.
She's moved up. No sooner have we talked about her, have we helped her career, have we put her on the podium, and then she goes to Formula 4. Yeah, this is great. I'm telling you, F1 for the win. Let's see. Well, they knocked a bridge down.
Yeah, I love watching that bridge go down over and over.
Oh, man.
It's
well,
the damnedest thing.
There's a lot of speculation, a lot of information, a lot of things we do know, we don't know, of course.
Well, we know now that the more important thing
is
they've got to change the name of the bridge because Francis Scott Key is a bad guy.
He's a racist.
The Francis Scott Key Bridge, now a barrier for a key shipping lane. The Port of Baltimore is expected to be closed indefinitely. As authorities investigate the collision that caused its collapse and work to clear the wreckage.
It's critically important to our economy.
Last year, the port processed over 52 million tons of foreign cargo worth some $80 billion. Each day it's shut down, a $217 million trade loss. And while Baltimore handles just 3% of container volume for the East and Gulf Coasts, it's the top U.S. port for automobile imports and exports. Nearly 850,000 vehicles passed through last year. The port is also crucial for energy exports, shipping some 20 million tons of coal per year, most to India. It's a key lifeline for the local economy as well, accounting for more than 15,000 direct jobs and nearly 140,000 indirect jobs, generating $3.3 billion in personal income.
We're looking at not having ships coming in for no one knows how long at this point, you know, and that's going to affect the lives of longshoremen and stevedores and the tugboat crew.
Some 40 ships remain stranded in Baltimore Harbor. Automakers like Ford, GM, and Volkswagen say they will be rerouting their shipping to avoid major disruptions. The accident certain to have a massive impact on the regional supply chain and the local economy.
Yeah. The fallout is really bad.
That was a better. I have a report from that report. Where'd you get that?
That was from France 24. It was good, right? Because it had the economic stuff in it.
It had a bunch of good stuff. Listen, here's what NPR did.
Let me see. NPR. Here we go.
Even as divers continue their search for missing construction workers following the collapse of a bridge in Baltimore, investigators are looking at evidence in the case. An apparently out of control container ship smashed into the bridge's support structure early Tuesday morning, causing the massive structure to crash into the water and onto the ship. The bodies of two workers were recovered today. Other workers who were on the bridge at the time are missing and presumed dead. The Biden administration is promising an aggressive effort to reopen the port of Baltimore to shipping traffic and rebuild the structure.
We got on.
I know.
but I just as an aside, I do have a kind of an interesting tidbit clip.
Okay.
Member station WYPR talked to one of their co-workers who said he was scheduled to work on the bridge the next morning. He said the men hailed from Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, and Mexico.
It's tragic.
Oh, yeah. No.
They're all a bunch of illegals that were working on it. No, but that's why they don't talk about it.
In fact, the president of Mexico has already complained. Let me see. López Obrador said that insensitive, irresponsible politicians did not understand the contribution of migrants in the U.S. They found two bodies in a pickup truck. Yeah, that's your high-paying, good union jobs. That's right.
Dignity.
Yeah, the illegals working on it. Of course, fixing the potholes. We have boots on the ground.
By the way, stop a second. So I went into my tires leaking.
Oh, no.
And so I had to get a new expensive tire because it wasn't warrantied because it was caused by a pothole. I had pothole damage to my tires. It's going to cost me a lot of money.
You need some illegals. I'm sure we can get some. Let's go to the Home Depot and have them and pick some up and have them fill up your potholes. Boots on the ground. From one of our producers, he works for a port company owned by SSA Marine, which controls port operations at the Baltimore Marine Port. This is why we have the best podcast in the universe. We have the best producers in the universe. Everybody's an expert at something. I'm sure this guy has been sitting around listening to the show forever, thinking, oh, it's great, I have nothing much to contribute. Then all of a sudden, whoa! And that's when you email us. That's how you're supposed to do it. It was confirmed there were two pilots in control of the vessel. The vessel was leaving the port after being loaded, speed 6 knots. After they lost power, they issued a mayday, which allowed emergency traffic closure of the bridge. And all those videos, it doesn't look like there was a lot of time, so that losing power, there was enough time for the mayday and for them to close the traffic on the bridge. Granted, it was late, but still, I think that's could have been much worse. They followed all the emergency procedures, which includes emergency dropping of the anchor. The smoke, this is from internal communications, so take it for what it's worth, of course. The smoke scene is from the emergency generators, which take several minutes to kick in. They tried to stop the ship, but it was too short of a distance. The cause of the power failure is still unknown. Although dirty fuel is a possibility, it seems they lost control of the steering while motor and propeller was still going. A collision was inevitable with a vessel this size and this amount of displacement. Confirmed that people died, but you probably have that information. Thank you very much to our boots on the ground. So that's the official word there at the port. Now, it was really odd. My neighbor out here, Laura Logan, she was on the stick right away about this, right away, calling it a cyber event. Yes, and she was all over Banyan Show and Newsmax or News Nation, whatever it is. And now,
two of them. One is Newsmax, and the other one is News Nation.
Yeah, there's two different things. Now, I hold my neighbor in high regard. I know who she's married to. I know that she does.
Yeah, I know you're friends.
Yeah, we're friends. She started coming to our church as well, which is interesting. She definitely has intelligence sources. Now, I'm going to play two clips. The first one is from when, because she has the same story. It's very long, so I tried to get the two concise clips. But the first one is really her sources. And although in none of her reporting that I've seen, she is staking her reputation on this. which for someone like Laura is a big deal.
U.S. intelligence, elements within U.S. intelligence have identified this as a cyber attack. And the way that this is done is using a technique which is called spoofing. So there's a lot of conversation, you know, about the speed the ship was going, that calls were made to emergency services or to the harbor master. And, you know, there's a lot of conversation about exactly, you know, all the different variances that happened here. But what they don't want you to talk about, right, because they introduce all these other things, right, so that you will not have a conversation about how this is done. It's a very simple technique, and it's called spoofing in the intelligence community. And basically what you do is you identify what is the GPS signal, we all know this is satellite based, that the ship is using to power its, you know, its GPS and to guide that ship on its course. And you create a more powerful signal, so you overwhelm the signal that they're using. And what this means is effectively whoever is on that ship piloting it, if when that pilot is on board, a complex maneuver like that has to be handled by the harbor pilot. So he's watching his GPS signal and it's telling him that he is on course, that everything is fine. But now he's looking at what he sees and it doesn't look the same as what's on the GPS. And what the harbor pilot and the crew are now looking at is as they're getting closer and closer, they're realizing, wait a minute, we're not in the channel. What we're seeing with our own eyes doesn't map what's on the GPS, but the GPS is telling us we're still on course. And so then they start to panic, right? And as they realize that they're in a really bad situation, they're now trying, in all likelihood, right, what they're trying to do is everything that they can to stop it. But at a certain point, physics takes over. The weight of the ship, the weight of the cargo, the speed of the water, the sharpness of the turn, there's nothing that you can do at that point.
So this is, she stands by this, that it was GPS spoofing, and it was dark of night, and it was timed at night so that they would, you know, just have the not a whole bunch of eyes would be on the bridge and seeing what was happening. Here's a clip from this. That was yesterday. Here's a clip from this morning about her sources.
I'm talking to people who are on the inside, some who are on active duty, some who are retired, and everyone, literally from critical infrastructure in Department of Homeland Security to the intelligence agencies, they know there's no other, this is a cyber attack on a critical infrastructure corridor for the United States. This is, you know, for those people who think this is just a river, this is in Baltimore, what is this matter? You don't know anything about what you're talking about. This, the I-94 corridor on the eastern seaboard is literally what connects the north and south. And when I talk about hazardous materials, right, this is a brilliant, well-planned strategic attack on one of the most important supply chains in the United States of America. The only other one is in the western side in California. That's the only one that's busier. And what you have done, you now have shut it down.
What do you think about that? Is that bridge really that important? Is it vital for our infrastructure?
Apparently it wasn't vital before 1978 when it was built.
I'm going to have to talk to her about two things. One, I've got to talk to her about the right.
Right.
And also I should not tell her not to stand too close to jet engines. I don't want to get injustice. Kidding. Kidding. I mean, she's staking her reputation on it, which is...
Well, it's an interesting thesis that, you know, you'd have to try to figure out how it could be done to overwhelm, and it would have been reported by more than one. I would think it couldn't be targeted unless they had... I don't know how they could do that, but it's possible, I suppose. To target one.
Oh no! I mean,
it's a bit much for me to take.
The GPS spoofing is very easy. That's super easy.
Is it easy to do it so nobody else notices?
Oh yeah, you just need a transmitter that is just closer to the receiver than blocks out the satellite signal. Absolutely, That I think is.
I'm not. I like to hear from some experts on this. We have
that. By the way, 1,600 airplanes in the last 4 days have had GPS issues over the Baltic Sea. I mean, this. We know this happens. All it's the easiest thing to do.
Well, it's also a solar flare, which was attributed to this issue.
Oh, I hadn't heard that one. Was there?
It came out saying, "Well, the solar flare has been causing trouble."
Well, that makes more sense to me than this. But spoofing is very easy. With GPS, it really is. I mean, you just have to have a signal sending out the skewed data. But it just seems like, well, okay. And then that doesn't account for the timing of the engine going out. And I mean, there's a lot of holes. But I still don't know if this, because her big claim... is that this will take 4 to 5 years, that the structure, you have no idea how bad this is because of the cement pylon, that probably, you know, they'll have to build a new bridge. That's likely true. But is it really that crippling? I mean, I know that you won't be able to get your Mercedes-Benz on time. I heard the CEO on CNBC. We'll get your EV Mercedes-Benz to you as soon as possible. I don't know. That's the thing that only she's talking about. It's much more interesting to me than the GPS spoofing. Is this really that important of a corridor?
Well, it's a 3% port. We know that.
Right, but she's talking about the bridge itself. It's not the port. It's the bridge.
The bridge, it will take a while to build. Since the one that was put up was, I guess, thrown up. That was a piece of crap. I've never seen anything collapse like that.
Well...
the whole thing looked like a Tinker Toy going down.
Well, if you hitting that pylon is, I mean, that's...
Yeah, but a single point of failure to that extreme, that was poorly designed, if that's the case.
Okay, John C. Dvorak.
Jesus, terrible.
Structural engineer. I mean, well, hey, did you see the Twin Towers?
I'm just looking at, you don't have to be a chicken to know a bad egg.
Hey, did you see the Twin Towers? How about that?
I don't think that was legit. Well, maybe this seemed legit.
How about Building 7? Now you're complaining about a bridge? That thing fell down out of sympathy. So, I don't know. It will unfold, but if so, no one else is talking about. That to me is the most interesting part. Is it really that bad? And man, it's like, when you get a whole bunch of people calling you from intelligence, you know, is that, I mean, that could be Q-level stuff. Like, this is it, man. This is it. And by the way, now that I have you on the phone, JFK Jr. is still alive. Which is a big one.
Pass it on.
Which is a big one out here. That's a big one. A lot of people talking about that.
I find that peculiar that it would be so prevalent in that area.
Oh, it's very interesting.
You're living in an area that is loaded with crackpots.
I feel right at home.
Yeah, well, you should.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. All right, so that was one. I mean, we really just don't have any more. Everybody's seen the video footage. I can understand where if you hit it's such a perfect hit. Even if they had just hit the truss of the bridge, it would have taken that thing out. But it really hit just the sweet spot, which you don't really expect to happen. So, and if it is it more important to me is it really going to cripple our internal infrastructure? I thought you would know more about the I-95 corridor. Seems like something you would know.
I know about the I-95 corridor.
Yeah.
But as far as I'm concerned, it's back east. I'm a West Coast guy. I don't care. Who gives a shit?
That's the spirit, John.
We look to China for our complaining.
Well, all right. Since we're talking about China, this is hasn't really hit the news that hard here in the States, but it's big in the UK.
Yeah, it's dominating the British papers today, Stuart, in what the Daily Mail calls a highly unusual move. The US and UK publicly identified China as the source of a decades-long cyber attack campaign. That campaign targeted, among others, politicians, journalists, institutions in the UK, the US, and New Zealand now says that its parliamentary system was also targeted in 2021. The U.S. has announced that it announced criminal charges and sanctions against seven hackers who they say live in China. Rishi Sunak, the prime minister, British prime minister, is now under pressure to do more to fight and to sanction those who carried out these attacks, particularly as anger is growing over the fact that Britain only slapped sanctions on two hackers. They belong to a group called Advanced Persistent Threat, or APT. Now, to give you an idea of the scale of these attacks.
What kind of hacker name is that? I mean, if you're sitting down with a bunch of hackers, like, oh, we got to have a cool name, like Anon. Oh, yeah. Advanced Persistent Threat. Yeah, nailed it, bro.
Advanced Persistent Threat, or APT. Now, to give you an idea of the scale of these attacks, an attack on the UK Electoral Commission gave the hackers access to the names and addresses of 40 million people registered to vote. One MP saying Britain turned up to a gunfight with a wooden spoon is in a bid to describe the response of Britain to punishing these hackers. As the Times reports, China is set to be declared a threat to national security.
Sir Bemrose in the troll room says that APT is what the white hats give to groups who they don't have the name of, and they'll often put a number. So APT 35. Advanced, so it's not what they call themselves, it's what our good guys call them. And it sounds to me like an attack on Five Eyes. Now they threw in New Zealand, the UK, the US, all this, it's your pivot to Indochina. There you go. It's there's so much confusing
stuff. So they collected names of 40 million people. Okay, yeah, so what?
It's called Facebook. What are you talking about?
It's called mini Facebook. It's not even close.
Mini Facebook. So then I hear about that Beijing is filing a lawsuit with the World Trade Organization against the United States.
Yes, this is a good story.
The same issue that the European Union had, although I don't think the European Union has filed any suit. They're complaining about the IRA, the Infrastructure Reduction Act, which gives incentives to U.S. electric vehicle makers. And they're saying it's racist. It's discriminatory. And now that's one thing. First of all, boo-hoo, China. That's one thing. But then Janet Yellen comes on the Andrea Mitchell show and accuses China.
And let me finally ask you about a New York Times report, but other reporting that we have done on Elon Musk and his relationship with China. Obviously, Tesla competing now against their cheaper EVs, but he is really dependent on that Chinese market, very tied in with them. He has huge defense contracts. His satellites we rely on for so much of our communication. It's a national security problem for when it and his rockets, of course. Isn't it a national security problem for our government to have so much reliance on this one entrepreneur?
Well, look, we take national security very seriously and want to protect our national security. Our desire is not to shut down economic relations with China. We want to diversify our supply chains, but many American firms operate in China and gain from the ability to sell to China's large market. that China obviously sells a lot in the United States, and the competition among our firms is by and large a healthy thing. We want to stabilize that relationship, not shut it down, but also we need to make sure that the playing field is level, and we are concerned about Chinese subsidies and the impact on our firms.
So she's saying the Chinese are subsidizing their companies. Well, now Brakeman Klump, which is what we say in the old country, that breaks my clog.
Oh, what a terrible saying.
Well, if you had wooden shoes, then you'd understand it. This is odd. So are we going down into...
There's something going on. Right now, there is a BYD, which is the company that was...
EV cars.
Supposedly going to build a mega factory in Mexico.
The bloodbath cars.
The bloodbath company. Yeah. BYD. Blood, your dream. So the bloodbath company, BYD... is rolling out this summer a massive campaign to introduce the BYD electric vehicle to the United States.
Interesting.
And you can go to their website and you can see the movie about it. And they're gonna be sponsoring the big World Cup or some soccer game.
Well, that's not how you get the Americans interested.
No, I know, but they don't. You know, they figure the Americans are very slowly turning to soccer.
Yes, they're sponsoring UEFA,
which is the idiotic.
Euros. That is very odd. Why would they do
that? But anyway, so we have the this coming, and it's supposed to roll out this summer, and we're going to start seeing... We don't see it. What Chinese cars... What's the big threat? What Chinese car is on the road? Name one.
I can't.
That's what I thought.
They're all in Russia.
Right. Why don't they even bother selling those? They got Russia's market.
They're all in Russia.
Goodbye, Mercedes. And maybe this whole thing's about, you said it yourself, they bring down this bridge. Mercedes can't bring cars here. They can't sell them to Russia. They're screwed. Maybe this is targeting them.
I like that. I thought they were going to put them in Mexico.
What, the Mercedes?
No, the BYD.
Oh, no, they're going to build them in Mexico so they can get cheaper labor and roll them into the country and save a few bucks. They're not building them here because nobody's going to let them do that. But they're going to be rolled out this summer. But I don't think it'd be the Mexican ones because I don't think that factory's done or even started, for all I know. Anyway, this is all suspicious, and it's like free trade is supposed to be free trade, and we subsidize our people, they subsidize their people, everybody subsidized.
The thing is, it's such a joke. All of this to me is a joke. We are in perpetual relationship with China. They buy our debt.
And there's nothing we can do about it.
They buy our debt, and then they have dollars, and what are they going to do with the dollars? Oh, I'll go buy some land, buy some real estate, buy San Francisco. Doesn't China own a lot of real estate in San Francisco?
Not that I know of.
Well, I thought they did.
Well, that would be a good ploy.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me. That's what I always heard. China.
No, I never heard this.
Ownership.
I mean, Chinese, there's a big Chinatown in San Francisco, and there's a lot of Chinese in San Francisco.
Yeah.
I don't know
if it's national. Get rid of them.
They've tried to do that before.
Hey, how and why buyers from China are snatching up Bay Area homes.
Bay Area is not San Francisco.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, we're going to be technical about it. This is from 2014.
Yeah, I'm going to be technical about it.
Yeah, okay. Well, the Bay Area, California, you know, the part you care about.
Well, if I was in China, I would be buying. I know in my where I live, which is on Albany Hill, I call China Hill.
Yeah. But isn't the whole point that we're just in this? We are the customer. We buy their stuff. They buy our debt. It's a circle. It goes all. Germany had this with Russia, which is gone now. Germany would build Mercedes, sell them to Russia, and Russia supplied all kinds of stuff back to them, including Deutschmarks, until we threw them off of SWIFT.
What a bunch of idiots.
Oh, man. Did you, I think I had, where was it here? Here it is. Reuters reports now. SWIFT planning launch of new central bank digital currency platform in 12 months. you know, you got to wonder.
I know what side of the argument you're on.
Yeah, of course. I'm totally on the side of that they're going to do this. It's inevitable.
I didn't say that. I mean, they may do it. It doesn't mean it's going to be a success.
Oh, no.
Are we going to get rid of cash our lifetime before you're dead?
Yes, before you're dead even. Yes. Yes. It's already gone practically for all practical purposes. Yes. Oh, we're definitely going to get rid of cash. Definitely.
Well, that's a huge mistake.
Well, but I mean, the whole point of a central bank digital currency is to easily be able to inflate and deflate and manage, you know, the money.
Yeah,
the
money supply.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. To take your money. You know what? They just got one step closer. And Texas Slim has been warning about this. We've been talking about it for quite a while, and they finally did it in the omnibus bill.
Well,
you're going to hear Massey and some rando rancher.
Well, you know, the left wants to ban cattle, and before you can ban anything, you need a registry. You need to know where it's at and who owns it. And that's why they want to tag cattle. We've seen it happen in Europe. Now, on the right, you've got some cronies who stand to make some money from these ear tags. They're the ones who get the $15 million earmark. It doesn't go to USDA. It's going to, quote, stakeholders. That is a code word for private entities are getting a handout. And what they'll do, they'll verticalize the industry with this. The big corporations, you know, you just talked about China. There are four corporations control meat processing in the United States. One's owned by China, one's owned by Brazil. American ranchers will be working for those organizations if this tracking goes through, because they'll verticalize the industry.
Chad, what's your response to this tracking of cattle? Are you concerned as well?
Oh, yes, I am. It is the key that opens the door to the end of independent producers across the country, and it is a private property rights issue that we really have to consider here. When we start talking about RFID, EID, and data monitoring of farmers and ranchers and their cattle herd size, we open up the door to what is going on in the European Union. And under the rules of sustainable development, we know that the RFID has led to land seizure in the name of climate change. So once we open that door, there's no going back, and they can come and they can monitor, measure, report, and verify everything that's going on your farm or ranch. And then maybe down the road, in the name of climate change, they can come and dictate to you the rules of their production, which are subjective from a third party verification. And it is extremely dangerous to private property rights. This is a liberty taker, not a liberty maker.
And this is all part of what Larry Fink from BlackRock calls, creating an, I wish I remember what Larry Fink of BlackRock said, tokenizing every asset. That's what it is, tokenizing. So they want to tokenize the herd. And then you can, of course, do all kinds of financial stuff once it's tokenized, and you can track it, and you put your cow on the blockchain, on whatever CBDC blockchain there is, and then you have total control. This is happening. This is really happening. Except, you know, these guys, they should have Texas Slim on. Don't get this rando guy on. Slim's much better. Better look, better hat, everything. Much better. So, yeah, everything's going to be digital. And although we keep laughing about climate change, they're all so crazy. It's creeping up on us bit by bit. And then before you know it, sorry, no beef for you because you drove too much. You don't have an EV.
So the thing that didn't get much news coverage by the mainstream, but was on some of the, it was on YouTube and elsewhere, was the big hailstorm in Texas that took out a solar array that's like miles and miles of these panels all busted up by the incoming hail.
Yeah. Gee, who would have ever thought that could happen?
Was that even covered in the local news where you are?
Yes. Yeah.
It wasn't covered here.
A little. Well, you're California. You don't care about the rest of the nation.
Yeah, well, there's truth to that.
Okay.
Here's the solar energy clip I have. Since you're talking about
you have a clip about it? Oh.
Okay. Not about that, because I can't. I never saw it except on YouTube.
By the way, when it hails, and we've had a couple good hailstorms, two things happen. One, you keep getting emails. Hey, it's roof repair guy here. Want me to check out your roof? And the other thing is, you always hear someone, some poor sap, like, "Oh man, my kid parked the car on the street. Didn't think about it."
Yeah, I guess the cars get all dinged up.
Oh,
the
windshield's broken. Windshield's broken. And
if you can break a windshield with a hailstone, then you can break a solar panel with one.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen toured a factory in Georgia today that will soon start making solar cells for the first time in 7 years. NPR's Scott Horsley reports Yellen says federal tax credits help pave the way for the plant's reopening.
The Suniva factory in Norcross, Georgia, was one of the first plants in the country to manufacture solar cells when it opened back in 2007. It struggled to compete, though, with cheaper solar imports, and the factory was shuttered 10 years later. Now, Suniva's trying again. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen credits clean energy tax breaks in the Inflation Reduction Act, which are designed to encourage domestic manufacturing.
Tax breaks.
Thanks to the IRA, investing in clean energy is a good value proposition today and for the future.
Yellen notes that solar energy accounts for more than half the new power generating capacity added in the U.S. last year.
So this is just proof. This is proof that $1 trillion, I think, the Inflation Reduction Act? Wasn't it
I think a trillion plus.
Yeah, a trillion plus dollars. Proof that it just went to private companies. Janet, send it to us. We'll make some solar cell panels. Yeah, it'll be great.
Which, in other words, they couldn't be profitable making them competing on a
exactly.
We think a level playing field with the Chinese who came in and just blew everybody away.
China's right then. They should be suing us. We're no good. Although they're no good either.
Hey, it's just the system's no good.
Since we're on climate change, I have a big mystery answered. Something that we've been talking about on this podcast for, probably since its existence. And it came out of the blue all of a sudden from the high wire. You know the high wire, Del Bigtree?
I'm familiar with it. I've never listened to it.
Yeah. During COVID, he had all kinds of great information.
Good for him.
Yeah, I think Dell used to produce medical shows on M5M, like The Doctors. I believe he produced that one.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, so
we need people like that in podcasting.
Yes, exactly.
Because he can't get a job anywhere else.
So he had on climate engineering expert Jim Lee, and man, he just laid it all out and explained why we've been seeing all those tic-tac-toe things in the sky, which seems to have increased incredibly in the past. Do you have a lot of chemtrails in the sky where you are? Or is nothing ever happened? Nothing bad in California? You know,
I saw like one trail maybe a week ago. No. N-O.
So, but you've seen the pictures of people taking pictures of the sky.
I've seen these
crisscross.
Pictures.
Which, look, I've been a pilot since 2006. I've never seen it so bad as it is now. But you know what? This guy has solved the mystery of the chemtrails.
The Obama administration, while everybody was having the Trump-Hillary Clinton election, you know, wall-to-wall coverage. Everything always happens while nobody's looking, right? The Obama administration signed the Federal Alternative Aviation Fuel Emissions Pact with the European Union, China, and the ICAO. This can be summed up in just a couple words: biofuels for contrail control, which goes back to what Ulrich Schumann was saying. To change the chemical constituents coming out of jet aircraft so that there's less warming, more cooling contrails. So I got in touch with the guy at the FAA who was testing the biofuels. His name is Dr. Rangasai Halthori. He is the head of the FAA's Aviation Climate Change Research Initiative. And I specifically asked him, and I sent him the documentation. I said, what did Ulrich Schumann mean by less warming, more cooling contrails, predictable for operational planning? He says, we want more contrail-induced cirrus clouds by day and none by night. This is intent. I have this signed in writing directly from the head of the FAA's ACCRI.
So if you've ever looked up in the sky and you've seen all those, I'll call them contrails. They don't evaporate. They eventually spread out and become a cloud cover, cirrus clouds, which are the flat clouds. And this, apparently, what this Jim is saying, comes from a specific mixture of biofuels that is used in the aviation industry. And it is, in fact, what is creating these grids in the sky.
Now you look and you see American Airlines pairing up with Google Artificial Intelligence to route planes around contrail forming spaces in the sky. These are called ice supersaturated regions. Basically, Google AI and goes back to what Ulrich Schumann had actually created in 2010. He produced something called COSIP, the Contrail Cirrus Prediction Tool. COSIP has evolved to be part of what's called the next gen transportation system in America. That's what makes all the tic-tac-toes in the sky.
Hold on. If it was Google AI, wouldn't those contrails be black?
No. Why? Oh.
Whoa.
Hey-o.
Part of what's called the next gen transportation system in America. That's what makes all the tic-tac-toes in the sky. It is a supercomputer that routes all the flights, and inside that supercomputer is a subsystem called the Aviation Environment Design Tool, AEDT. In the AEDT, it tells planes at what altitude to fly, how much fuel to burn, all of these things. And it takes in environmental concerns into how it routes flights.
And that brings us right back to the Biden administration with an executive order, which we already knew was coming, and this is it.
What did the Biden administration just can't come out with? A report on solar radiation modification. What three areas of study did they say they want to focus on? Stratospheric aerosol injection, they call it solar radiation modification, and cirrus cloud thinning. So what you have here is a grand conspiracy between the scientists who are trying to, as they would put it, mitigate global warming impacts from aviation. But in reality, what they're doing is they're turning what's been 60 to 80 years worth of pollution into an active geoengineering program.
I think it makes total sense. They've always been doing this. And we always knew that one day they'll come up, oh, no, we've got to do this aerosol. Bill Gates, hello, Bill Gates. We've got to do this aerosol stuff because it's for climate change. Well, they've been doing it all along.
Well, when I was a kid, they were always seeding the clouds in California constantly.
Sure, seeding. Yeah, that's one thing.
Well, it's still a climate. It's still modification.
Yes, yes. But this is, people have been noticing. They've been noticing the crisscrosses in the sky, and here's your answer. And remember next gen, I was all over next gen because that was going to be a whole bunch of things. And while I was looking at the pilotless airplanes and how they were going to decrease separation, what they were really under the hood is they were changing the fuel so that we have more of these clouds that spread out and is basically ruining our days. It ruins your day.
Entrails.
You know, nice blue skies. Oh, no, we can't have that. These people are crazy.
Well, that's for sure.
They're ruining our blue skies. Okay, one more climate change clip, then we can move away from that. This is the farmers are protesting once again. They're in Europe.
This is getting out of control in Europe.
They're mad. I mean, they're going to Brussels. They're throwing poop everywhere. They're starting fires. But just so you know, the people that they are looking to, the politicians they're looking to solve their issues, to help them, you know, reduce these ridiculous climate change regulations. What political bent do you think they have? Could it be?
No, tell me.
Far right? Yeah, probably. Count the number of times.
For the third time in a few weeks, firecrackers and smoke darken the sky in Brussels' EU quarter. The concessions given to them by the EU so far have not been enough for these farmers, particularly the youngest among them.
Young people have a lot of expenses, so are most in need of fair income. For the moment, they don't have it.
This anger could push these young people to move away from the traditional vote of the agricultural electorate.
It's clear that it was more center-right or even right-wing. But here, all the cards are reshuffled, and we don't know who the farmers will turn to.
Especially since, for several months in the European Parliament, far-right parties have been moving into traditional territory of the right by casting themselves as the spokespeople for farmers. The embrace of state interventionism has been an ideological evolution for certain far-right groups.
Very clearly, in the 80s, we had far-right groups, typically the National Front in France, which were more of a neoliberal trend, but they have evolved their discourse on a set of elements because it's an opportunity to capitalize on societal unease and perhaps further broaden their electoral base.
The far-right's other target is the environmental measures of the European Green Deal, which remain at the heart of the debate, despite already being significantly watered down recently by the EU.
There you go. What do we count?
Six times? Far right.
Far right. The far right.
Whatever that means.
I think they said farm right. I mean, it was farm right. Yeah. Well, they don't, you know, if you are protesting and you're a farmer, you're basically a Nazi. That's it.
Yeah,
that's,
that makes nothing but sense.
That's the whole idea. What? Oh, what? Oh, no. You're part of the far right.
Yeah, not right. No. Not conservative.
Although that bastion of freedom there in Berkeley, right where you are, you know, the ones that don't care about the rest of the country.
Right. Yeah.
Are repealing its controversial ban on natural gas appliances.
Yeah, they couldn't. There was a little. Yeah, nobody was buying into this one.
Yeah, but New York is still all in.
Well, they're idiots.
Yeah, no more pizza ovens.
We actually lured them into the idea.
No more matzahs. No, it's crazy. The UK, though, the Oxfordshire City, County Council approved plans this week to lock residents into one of six zones to save the planet from global warming. Yep, this is the 15-minute neighborhood, instead of city, neighborhood. Under the new scheme, if residents want to leave their zone, I love that.
You have to get a visa.
Don't leave your zone, citizen.
If you want to leave your zone, they'll need permission. Yes, there it is. There's your visa from the council, and they will decide who is worthy of freedom. I think this is written with some slant here. Under the new scheme, residents will be allowed to leave their zone a maximum of 100 days per year. So you have there's your budget. There's your climate budget. 100 days a year. Don't try to buy anything outside of the zone because they'll know.
No, you go Amazon.
No,
Amazon's behind this. You know that, right?
But if you go to, well, I'm sure they're helping, yeah. But if you go to another zone and get something to eat with your cashless society, they'll know. Every resident has to register their car. And of course, their cars will be tracked via cameras around the city. It's all coming. It's all coming. It's amazing. Between that and 4 years of Trump, we have to stop after you know, in was it
the show is dead.
We'll have this show.
2028 is the end of the no agenda show.
That's right. It's the end of the show. It just has to end. We can't handle it anymore. We don't have the bandwidth for it. And then, of course, with war in Ukraine, with terror attacks in Moscow, which now I think Putin says we're both right. It was Ukraine with the U.S. and the U.K. So it wasn't just Ukraine. It was Ukraine with the U.S. and the U.K., which, by the way, a lot of people have deconstructed Victoria Nuland's comments at the end of February in Ukraine, in Kiev, and say, oh, yeah, and she was already telegraphing it, which I thought was about the Taurus missiles which Germany didn't give. But here's that 38-second clip again where she talks about some mighty big, surprises.
I have to say that I leave Kyiv tonight more encouraged about the unity and the resolve about 2024 and its absolute strategic importance for Ukraine. I also leave more confident that even as Ukraine strengthens its defenses, Mr. Putin's going to get some nice surprises on the battlefield, and that Ukraine will make some very strong success this year.
See, that's where I disagree with the deconstructionist. She says on the battlefield.
Yes, I agree. I agree with you.
So I don't think that was any telegraphing by any means. And there's some very lengthy deconstructions of it. But whatever.
We don't think a concert hall outside of Moscow is quote unquote on the battlefield.
On the battlefield. And now, now ISIS-K is everywhere. Oh, ISIS-K, they're threatening France. They're threatening the Olympics. So it's always fun. It's always fun to bring back ISIS. Good. Bring back ISIS-K. But anyway.
Well, ISIS-K is right. ISIS-K is not really anything they brought back. ISIS-K stems from one specific province in Afghanistan that starts with a K.
Yeah, Khorasan.
It's just a bunch of disillusioned Taliban guys.
The whole thing is ridiculous.
It is.
It is. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But, it makes everybody worried and shake everybody up. But that doesn't matter at all, because all anybody can talk about is Diddy. Diddy, Diddy, Diddy,
Diddy. I have a bunch of Diddy clips. And
there you are right on cue to disappoint me with a whole bunch of Diddy clips.
Yeah, of course, because I unlike you,
yes,
do deal with some popular storylines that you reject out of hand.
Wait, no, hold on a second. I have not rejected anything out of hand. I have said that what is happening here is they're washing the cup on the outside. The inside is where all the wickedness resides. This is Diddy is just a cover for the true wickedness. That's what I said.
Okay, what's the true wickedness?
Oh my God, the lesbian witches who perform witchcraft every single day in front of our kids. Taylor Swift, Madonna, Rihanna.
Well, it's all in the Sam music Smith. Industry, which is kind of what is brought out by this Diddy thing.
I lived with Sean Puffy Combs for a year.
That's the crazy thing. Now, that was L.A. Reid's idea, right?
Is this what you want me to play?
No, but this is good. This is from 2016.
This is Usher.
This is Usher complaining about, when he was a kid, he was taken. It's always, by the way, I don't have all these clips. But Bieber, I guess, was taken in.
Yes.
By Diddy to these camps.
By the way, it's like not a secret within the music business that Diddy is gay.
Well, in fact, I don't have that clip either. I can just
good.
But one of the guys who's doing one of the main complainers he uses the term virgin hole.
Yeah, you're talking
which kind of got, I don't know how they got it on Fox, but they did.
Are you talking about Cat Williams?
Yeah, I think it was who it was.
So Cat Williams.
And he says that Diddy wants to do everyone's, and he goes on about this. He says, you just have to say no.
Yeah, that's Cat Williams.
And you just have to say no, and he'll you back up. But yes, it seems as though.
In general, if Diddy even whispers the words virgin and hold to you, you need to say no. I agree. This is very, very sound advice. Very sound advice.
But yeah, you can play this Usher clip.
I lived with Sean Puffy Combs for a year.
That's the crazy thing. Now, that was L.A. Reid's idea, right? We're sending you over to something called Puffy Flavor Camp.
There you go.
You were 13. What were you seeing?
I went there to see the lifestyle.
Right.
And I saw it. And it was. But I don't know if I could indulge and understand what I was even looking at. It was pretty wild. It was,
so nobody tried to, some woman didn't come along.
I didn't say that.
Okay.
I didn't say that. What I did say is that there were very curious things taking place.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't necessarily understand.
Would you ever send your kid to Puffy Camp?
Hell no.
Yeah, so it was actually, just so you understand the genesis, the Puffy took Usher under his wing, and Usher was the one who, quote-unquote, discovered Bieber. And then he sent Bieber off to be with Diddy for 2 weeks.
Well, it's sorted.
Well, yes. Hello. Oh, my. There's gambling going on in the music business. What you don't hear very much of is Clive Davis. He's the one who discovered Diddy, if we go all the way up the chain. And by the way, if you notice, Diddy is now a rapper. What happened to music industry executive, which is what he really is? Because he runs all these labels and sub-labels. And, you know, then, of course, oh, Curry, you're not doing the research. This is Epstein. Okay? Because, yes, oh, they're blackmailing everybody. I still need to see one videotape from Epstein.
We haven't seen anything. They won't show us anything.
Where's the Hillary Clinton video that four cops committed suicide over? Where's that?
You'd think they would get leaked somehow.
You'd think.
Well, the clips I have are, if I didn't take the mainstream media, I took Jesse Walters.
That's not mainstream media?
Well, it is, but it's
that's more mainstream than most.
Well, the reason I say it's not is because it's like watching a hysterical old lady.
Okay.
Jesse Walters. Yes.
By the way, it's Waters, not Walters.
Walkers.
Waters.
Waters. Jesse Waters is just short of clutching, not his pearls, but you know, where you get to the top of your the blouse and you hold it tight against your neck.
He sounds like 99% of all podcasts and Rumble and YouTube videos. That's all. Yes. That's what everybody's. Is that what your algo brought up for you, John? Did he?
No.
Oh. Okay.
No, I was watching Jesse Walker's
Jesse Walker's. All right, let's get into it.
Shockwaves reverberating through the music industry after federal agents raided the L.A. and Miami homes of billionaire hip-hop mogul Sean Diddy Combs. Homeland Security conducted the armed raid in an alleged sex trafficking operation. TMZ later capturing Diddy pacing around a private Miami airstrip. Diddy wasn't arrested, but his phones were seized. And there's speculation tonight that he's fled the country. We can't confirm it. Just breaking tonight, though, Diddy's attorney is putting out a statement saying, quote, there is no excuse for the excessive show of force and hostility exhibited by authorities. This unprecedented ambush, paired with advanced coordinated media presence, leads to a premature rush to judgment of Mr. Combs and is nothing more than a witch hunt.
Oh,
we believe the raid was triggered by a litany of lawsuits, including from his own ex, alleging abuse, rape, and sex trafficking. Diddy settled that one. But then, 2 months ago, his former producer, Rodney Lil Rod Jones, filed an explosive lawsuit containing disturbingly graphic and disgusting details that not only implicate Diddy, but aim straight at the heart of the music industry.
So, in all of this, interesting that Diddy has not been arrested. His kids,
yeah, weird.
His kids are living at these houses. And let me tell you, you want to see some messed up kids? Look at kids of billionaires. But he's right. Diddy is putting out a statement. He's right. This is a witch hunt. The witches of the music industry, Taylor Swift. Beyonce.
I see what you did there.
Oh yeah. These are the evil ones. They're the Satanists and Sam Smith. But we'll just call him a woman for argument's sake.
Who?
Sam Smith? Don't you remember he was on the Grammys in the devil suit in the cage, brought to you by Pfizer?
Oh, that guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It is a witch hunt. In that regard, he's correct. It's a witch hunt. The witches are out to get him to cover up their own evil doings.
I like your thesis.
Thank you. Clip two.
An elaborate racketeering, blackmail, and sex trafficking scheme that his lawyers compare to Jeffrey Epstein's. Now, for over a year, Lil Rod had unfettered access to Diddy's world, his homes, his planes, and his parties, where he claims he witnessed mountains of narcotics, illegal firearms, laced drinks, sex workers, and underage boys and girls. The producer claims he was groped by Diddy, groomed, and forced into humiliating sexual performances. deputy's chief of staff, Christina Corum, is said to have been the Ghislaine Maxwell to Sean Combs.
Oh, there it is.
Allegedly ordering her assistants to keep Mr. Combs high off gummies, pills, cocaine, and ecstasy, and maintaining a steady stream of sex workers for her boss. Now, some of the women brought into Diddy's orbit were under the age of 16. That's according to the complaint. The lawsuit claims he required the sex workers and underage girls to sign NDAs prior to entering his parties and prior to being drugged and sex trafficked at these parties.
I don't believe this for a second. Sign this NDA. Well, sure, both. No. Okay, so far, except for the underage part, we have drugs and hookers. Sounds like DC to me. I mean, okay. This is all salacious gossip, and it's so uninteresting in the world that we live in. When Taylor Swift is performing witchcraft on stage in front of your 7-year old. Oh, Taylor! The kids are talking in tongues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. That is a short clip. Here's the last one.
Now, Diddy called these his freak out parties. In attendance
there you go.
Were celebrities, politicians, athletes, international dignitaries like British royalty, Prince Harry, and music label executives. Lil Rod claimed some of the biggest names in the recording industry sponsored these parties with sex workers, drugs, and underage girls. The CEO of Universal Music, Lucian Grange, is named as a defendant. So is the former CEO of Motown Records, Ethiopia, Habert Mariam, and others. Lil Rod says hidden cameras were in every room of Diddy's homes. Lil Rod believes that Mr. Combs possesses compromising footage of every person that has attended his freak-off parties and his house parties. Salacious tapes of Hollywood's biggest names, including record CEOs and politicians, doing drugs and cavorting with prostitutes and minors. The complaint argues that these freak-off parties were a business model. Young and up-and-coming talent attended and were promised career opportunities and access to music executives. They were then plied with drugs and alcohol, filmed. Some were blackmailed. There was a quid pro quo, according to the complaint.
Oh, wow. How surprising.
So, well, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
How does this sound any different than a Hugh Hefner Playboy Mansion party?
None at all. None at all, except that there's a promise of a career. Well, I guess, you know, I can get to Hugh. I can get you in Playboy. Maybe that was a promise.
Yeah.
You're completely right. It's ridiculous. The whole thing is a big distraction.
Well, I don't know about
that. Yes. Of course it is. Have you seen what's going on in the world? Airplanes are falling out of the sky.
The airplane fell out of the sky.
Well, the 737 MAX. But, there's pieces falling. Boeing is an unreliable product.
Yeah, well, there's your story.
Yes.
How did that happen? We've talked about it on the show. We know how it happened.
Well,
put a GE guy in charge of anything, and this is what you're going to get. Hello.
And he quit. He's resigning.
Yeah. In a year.
Well, they've got to find a successor. But there is a new twist.
And what's a new chapter of Alaska Flight 1280?
I'm sorry. A new chapter, not a twist, a chapter.
And what's a new chapter of Alaska Flight 1282 where the door plug on a Boeing plane blew out while in the air? The FBI Seattle Division has sent those passengers a letter. It says, "We have identified you as a possible victim of a crime."
Is it unusual for a letter like this to be sent out?
This is extraordinary. For the DOJ and the FBI to be issuing this letter.
Attorney Mark Lindquist said the 27 passengers he represents in a lawsuit against Boeing and Alaska Airlines received the notice.
This letter is a result of cumulative errors by Boeing, cumulative negligence. The DOJ's just lost their patience, it seems.
While the embattled company is not named in the FBI's letter, Lindquist says...
Everyone's drawing the inference that the target is Boeing.
Alaska Airlines tells Como, in an event like this, it's normal for the DOJ to be conducting an investigation. We are fully cooperating and do not believe we are a target of the investigation. Boeing simply said they weren't commenting. Lindquist says the DOJ is working to see if there's grounds for new criminal charges.
The door plug blew out at 16,000 feet. There were a variety of injuries. Had this happened at cruising altitude, you likely would have seen people sucked out of that hole. The pilot may have gone unconscious due to hypoxia. The plane may have gone down.
And in this case, the attorney welcomes a federal investigation.
We want accountability. We want answers. And we want safer planes from Boeing.
Yeah, I agree with that. We definitely want safer planes from Boeing. Boots on the ground, of course. Word is Spirit Aerosystems. These are the guys who actually were split off from Boeing, I think. We'll be Boeing again by June 2025. The transition will start this June, will take 1 year to complete. Of course, very complicated because after Boeing sold this Wichita division to what became Spirit almost 20 years ago, they've taken in work from Airbus, Sikorsky, Bell, and others. Some think Boeing will take it all and Spirit will just cease to exist. Others think Boeing will buy the commercial part and the defense part will remain autonomous. We should have a better idea in a few weeks, boots on the ground, in the industry, close to the fire. So that looks more and more like military industrial complex work is involved here, too.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't want to change the direction of the cash cow.
Well, no, I never thought that I would be pro Airbus because, you know, they're basically plastic. I like sheet metal and rivets, but not these. These guys are no good.
I don't have any clips on this, but I want to make some commentary on Bobby the Op.
Oh, I have a clip to set us up.
Good.
Here we go.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has announced a relatively unknown political newcomer as his running mate in the race for the White House. Silicon Valley lawyer Nicole Shanahan will join his independent ticket as they seek to win over voters unhappy with a Biden-Trump rematch. Shanahan is the ex-wife of Google's co-founder and says she shares Kennedy's concerns about the environment and vaccines.
There is only one candidate I have met for president who takes the chronic disease epidemic seriously. It is Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and I will be his ally in making our nation healthy again.
Shanahan has deep pockets. She donated $4 million to a super PAC that bought a Super Bowl commercial.
I'd have some thoughts, too, but you go ahead.
So this woman is the one behind that Kennedy ad that ran on the Super Bowl that was a throwback to the 60s. Yeah. Of course, she wasn't born until 84 or something like this. She doesn't even know who Kennedy was. Mm-hmm. But okay, so she's somehow responsible for that ad. She was brought in when Kennedy first came in as an independent, and he looks like he's polling for about 12% as we speak if he gets on all the ballots, which she can assure because she's got a lot of money.
That's because and it was of discussed the, in a good clip. The Sergey Brin settlement.
She was married to Sergey Brin for a little while. She met him at a yoga camp and had a kid.
Did you hear that supposedly the reason they split up is that she banged Elon?
It was in the newsletter. I thought you read it.
Not everyone who listens to the show reads the newsletter.
Anyway, the newsletter has a very nice clip.
And by the way, no one saw the newsletter. It went to junk.
A lot of it, yeah. I know.
It hurt everything. Hurt donations, everything.
It did. We got screwed. Mm-hmm. And I think it had to do with the title using the word killer.
Oh, yeah. So it's on you.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Well, it's not really because it's stupid.
Yes, Monty 83. There's a newsletter. Stupid trolls. Yeah, so this woman is no good. She's just rich.
Let me finish.
No, I'm sorry.
So she went, supposedly had an affair with Elon, which they both denied, but he got divorced from her anyway because I think she is beyond the left-wing crackpot type because she just recently, as I mentioned again in the newsletter, we discussed that she just recently, after getting divorced, she's had a druidic ceremony. So she's a druid. And I should mention that when I went to InfoWorld back in the 80s, when it was initially an intelligent machine journal, it was run by druids.
Really?
Yeah. And Maggie Cannon told me about it because she says she goes in there and they go on there some Friday night or something. She goes in back into the office for some reason. Everyone's wearing these horns on their heads and doing some ceremony
at InfoWorld.
Yeah.
This is some Silicon Valley lore I have not heard yet.
Oh, yeah. And so there's a lot of druidic bullcrap in Silicon Valley, and she's a part of it.
But didn't they meet at Burning Man, her current guy who works for...
Yeah, they met at Burning Man. I want to read a little clip from Britannica about druids. Nobody knows anything about them, so it's all supposition and some...
But can I just say, I've met a druid.
Okay, tell us what you know.
I met a druid in Amsterdam because we got DMT from a druid. Then he got it. I did DMT twice in my life. It's now 20 years ago. By the way, I enjoyed the experience. Don't have to do it again, but I enjoyed the experience. And a druid comes over to the house, and it's because, you know, pure DMT is from tree bark. It's not synthesized.
How do you know he's a druid?
Dude, he had the horns on his head and everything.
No.
Yes. Yeah, he had the lots of, you know, like, what's her name, from Stevie Nicks type flowing robes and stuff. He was great. Hey, man, you got some tree bark for me? So they're a weird bunch. And when I saw the picture in the newsletter of her having her hand-holding ceremony with the guy who works at Lightning Labs, of all places.
Bitcoin.
Well, Lightning Labs is very specific. Lightning Labs, they built Lightning Node, which is for the Lightning Network. And those guys, I think, have lost their way, to be quite honest. They're little nuts about money. She's wearing like a druidic tree outfit with leaves and stuff, barefoot.
So here's from Britannica. Other Roman writers, nobody knew anything about the Druids, so they had to go with Roman writings from Pliny the Elder and others. Other Roman writers also fixate on Druids' love of blood and gore. Pliny the Elder wrote of the Druids' appreciation for both mistletoe and human sacrifice.
To murder
a man was to do the act of highest devoutness, he wrote, and to eat his flesh was to secure the highest blessings of health. Tacitus, the great historian, even described a battle in Wales in which druids covered their altars with the blood of captives and consulted their deities through human entrails. So they held up somebody's intestines, who knows?
Yeah.
According to the writers, the pagan practitioners presented an existential threat to the Romans. So my thinking is that this woman was introduced to the campaign because Bobby the Op came in and he's polling about 12%. And initially he was taking from both Biden and Trump. But by bringing a druid in, a pagan woman, who is obviously a kind of a gold digger, to say the least, she comes in, adds to the ticket. She's, charming enough. And she will kill any chance that a Trump voter is going to cross over and vote for Bobby the Op. That's ends that. He's only going to suck away the votes from Biden, and that's the reason she's there.
That's the Op right there. I completely concur. Word around town, because I know many people who are looking at Bobby the Op. Oh, no. Oh, no. No way. Because, she sent money to the Soros sisters, DAs. She's a libtard. I'm just repeating what people around town say. He's completely and utterly destroyed any chance of any wavering Trump voter selecting Bobby. First of all, it's just pathetic. I mean, I understand that he had to get on the ballot and he needs like $15 or $20 million quick. So that was the choice. It's like, well, look, you got a lot of money. I'll make you my VP. And yes, I have to agree. I don't like calling people gold digger easily, but she sure seems to have all the traits of one. So
that was the idea, and now we got Trump as a shoo-in.
Because
Bobby the Op is just an insurance policy to make sure that Trump gets in.
Yep.
So somebody somewhere, some guys pulling strings, mm-hmm. are intent on getting Trump elected, and I'd say this is the time to do the betting if you're around Vegas.
Get in now while stocks last. And so I watched a majority of the, in fact, Del Bigtree was there. Because a lot of people like, and you know, even though Trump is saying, oh, it's horrible, you know, you can't vote for him, he's no good, which I think is part of the op, it's just materializing. It still would not surprise me if Trump wins, if Kennedy is not brought in for some cabinet post.
Yeah, it could be.
That would not surprise me, because all the people there who were speaking up to the up to Kennedy coming out and then him announcing, what's her name?
Shanahan.
Shanahan. That's her new name. Yeah. So let's make it a little racist while we're at it. Shanahan.
Yeah.
Were people who had some very interesting things to say. And I pulled one clip because I was watching in real time. Callie Means, this is the True Med guy. And I just love this.
Who?
Callie Means is his name.
Callie Means.
M-E-A-N-S. Callie Means.
Oh, Means. Okay.
Yes. And he runs True Med, which is a, you know, naturopath type outfit, anti big pharma, but he has a history with big pharma and he talked about it.
Working for the food and pharma industries early in my career, my job was to funnel money to institutions that Americans trust. We funneled money to civil rights groups. In return, the NAACP said it was imperative to keep Coca-Cola on food stamps. They actually said it was racist to take ultra-processed food and soda off of food stamps. And today, soda is the number one item purchased with that program. We funnel money to medical organizations. The American Diabetes
Association. Oh, yeah. Oh, you've never heard this?
No, I never heard that soda was the number one thing bought by food stamps.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Well.
Yeah, you can use them at fast food, remember. Very important, using your SNAP card at fast food.
They actually said it was racist to take ultra-processed food and soda off of food stamps. And today, soda is the number one item purchased with that program. We funneled money to medical organizations. The American Diabetes Association of all groups took millions of dollars from Coca-Cola, and they said small cans of the drink was a good choice for diabetics. The American Academy of Pediatrics, 80% of their funding comes from the pharmaceutical industry. We funneled money to researchers. I was shocked as a junior employee to be communing with top professors at Harvard and Tufts Nutrition School. I found that 11 times more funding comes from the food industry for nutrition research than the NIH. I found out that more than 50% of the Harvard Med School budget touches pharma in some way. We funneled money to the media. Pharma funds over 50% of all TV news funding. And I realized that wasn't to influence consumers, that was to influence the news itself.
And he went on and on and on and on. And of course, he went into Ozempic and how that's going to bankrupt Medicare. Even Bernie Sanders is now coming out saying, oh, we've got to get cheaper Ozempic. Okay, thanks, Bernie. Yeah, that'll do it. Cheaper Ozempic. Don't mind, you know, the fact that you're going to put people on medication, kids on medication for the rest of their life. But let's get back to the food stamps or the SNAP cards, because you can use them at fast food, and they have a new addition, which is just it's more input for the Ozempic.
Two breakfast powerhouses are teaming up. Three types of Krispy Kreme donuts will reportedly go on sale at McDonald's later this year. The donuts will be available across the country at McDonald's by the end of 2026 after a phased rollout. The partnership could increase the scope of Krispy Kreme. And today, Krispy Kreme is giving away a free donut between 5 and 9 p.m. to celebrate. Woo.
Unless they're putting that conveyor belt inside of the McDonald's and rolling them off hot.
There you go. Media loves it. But wait, there's more. We need more sugary stuff, whether it's high fructose corn syrup or sugar or aspartame or whatever you want it to be.
I'd like to know what McDonald's thinks it's doing. First, they did this new Cosmos thing, which is just a sugary drink operation that everyone's all jacked up about. And we've played many a clip.
Yes.
from people going, oh, it's so great. And now Krispy Kreme, a donuts
John,
at McDonald's. On our,
if you had a nation that has money from the government in their hand and they're crack addicts, I'm pretty sure if you were enterprising, you'd be like, hey, Adam, I got an idea. Let's stop this podcasting nonsense. Let's start a crack stand. So that's all that sugar is. It's crack. And we have a nation addicted to it. Oh, no, but don't worry because you got the Ozempic now. And hey, kids. Here's a good one for you. Let's double down.
Dunkin', ready to give you a little buzz. Spiked iced coffees and teas are officially available now in Chicago. The coffee comes in four flavors, original, caramel, mocha, and vanilla. And while the teas have some unexpected flavors, they include a strawberry, dragon fruit, and a mango pineapple. These boozy drinks are not available in Dunkin' shops. Instead, they will be at local grocery stores. Of course, Jenna, in the liquor section.
Of course, why not?
Why not? Do you think there's going to be any raspberry in there? No. Sugar.
And to back up your piece about just buying everything left and right, I'm not going to play any of the 20-minute promotion that they did, but I want to play the intro to it because this adds right into it. This is the UBI presentation on NPR.
Work on fighting poverty in the USA pandemic government aid made it clear that giving people in need a little extra money could help them in huge ways.
And they spend the money in ways that everyone does, right? On those basics. Going to the grocery store, making sure the rent is paid, paying the car note, those sorts of things.
Consider this. Universal basic income once seemed like a radical idea in the U.S. before the pandemic. But now, many places in the country are pushing to make it a permanent part of the social safety net.
Yeah. Oh, there was a whole special on NPR about UBI?
Yeah. And they went on and on with people talking about literally just throwing the money away.
And
that's okay because that's, you know, that's what people want to do when they got the money. They do whatever they want with it. And well, it's just the damnedest thing I ever heard.
No, this is, remember, my take on the COVID situation has always been financial. It's always been financial. And now we have it. This is perfect. We've got inflation. Oh, I'm sorry. It's transitory. We've got inflation. Then it's transitory. In fact, let's talk about that for a second.
This morning, a dollar won't go quite as far at Dollar Tree these days. The company now says it will increase its maximum price at stores to $7 this year. A $5 cap was put in place last summer. Family Dollar recently announced it will close to 1,000 stores, 30 of which are Dollar Tree stores.
So they had a cap last summer of $5. Now it's $7.
When I was a kid, there used to be something called the five and dime store.
Yes, we had one closed just last year here in Fredericksburg. We had a five and dime on Main Street, and it closed. But just think about it. They had a cap of $5 at the dollar store a year ago. Now it's $7. Is that not somewhere like a 30% increase?
That's a big jump.
Yes, that's your inflation. Look at TikTok. All the kids are crying. They can't afford rent. They can't afford anything. I mean, in addition to their iPhone, of course, and their fancy car.
They can spend a grand on an iPhone. That's fine.
Well, it's on the payment plan, you know. It's all finance.
Quote, unquote, it's free.
It's free. Yes, all finance through AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon. But if you really look at the $7 trillion that we created, $7 trillion was created by the banking system. This came up on a very brief segment with Mohammed El Arian. He's an economist. He's often on CNBC. And they talked about the $7 trillion that we printed. And what are we going to do about it? Are we going to catch up? Are we going to pay that off? Because it's debt. And China bought that, a lot of Chinese purchasing of our debt. And here
First of all, by the way, I just want to make it clear that the United States Americans buy most of the debt.
Our own treasury.
We are personally stuck with the debt.
Yes, our own treasury buy. We buy our own debts. Called monetizing your debt. We buy it ourselves. Correct. And but what are we going to do about it? Are we going to pay it off? Are we going to fix it? Are we going to figure it out? No.
But why are we at $7 trillion? Why $7 trillion next year?
Why? Because whether it's the U.S. or elsewhere, we ratchet. We
You
we,
never go back from the crisis
we
levels?
Don't, we don't. That's
a bad...
Neither look, does the Fed's balance. Yeah,
the right. U.K. is the same thing. It is sad. And at some point, we're going to pay for this. We will pay for this.
We have been saying this for so long that we're going to pay for it. We're going to be talking to Maya McGinnis a little later about some of the issues surrounding this, too. We've been saying this for so long, decades and decades. When does it actually...
So remember the old PIMCO concept of the cleanest dirty shirt. Yeah. Okay, we live in a relative world. So if we misbehave and others misbehave more, we don't get punished because we've got the reserve currency and we are the place where people outsource savings to. So as long as we remain the cleanest dirty shirt, then we're not going to be punished. If others start being cleaner than us, then this will change.
We have the cleanest dirty shirt. Exactly.
That's a great analogy.
It's perfect. And this is why they have to, they must create a central digital bank currency, a central bank digital currency. They have to, for all the UBI, for all of the newcomers who we're welcoming in. We're getting you a work permit. Don't worry. Here's your card. Here's your ID. Here's your UBI. It's a foregone conclusion. And just to add to that, the let me see, where do I have it here? The UBI part, or the digital ID part, is really approaching very rapidly, and we're going to usher that in for social media. I know you don't agree with it, and you say it's crazy, and yes, you'll be able to get around it, but California already has SB1228, large online platforms user identity authentication. This bill would require a large online platform as defined to seek to verify the name, telephone number, and email address of an influential user as defined by means chosen by the large online platform, and would require the platform to seek to verify the identity of highly influential users as defined by asking to review the highly influential user's government issued identification. And this is happening everywhere, including Florida.
Childhood has completely changed. And the reason it's changed, of course, is because of the smartphone. Kids today, teenagers today, according to the research, they are more sedentary, more solitary, more anxious, more depressed, more risk averse. Something has changed, and it seems to be the access to the phone. So now here comes the state of Florida. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, Ron DeSantis assigned the most restrictive social media ban for teenagers anywhere in the country. People 14 and under banned from social media in the state of Florida. For 15 and 16 year olds will need a parental consent. DeSantis says this satisfied me the way the bill was written. I think it's a fair application of the law and the Constitution. There, of course, will be lawsuits, as there have been in other states. The Republican Speaker of the House there in the state of Florida says we're going to beat those lawsuits, we're going to beat them, and we are never going to stop. This is a major, major deal.
But how do you police this?
Exactly, because my 10-year-old will register on Instagram or TikTok as though she's of a certain age, and it's about, I have to take the phone away.
Well, it becomes a legal liability for the companies. I mean, Instagram knows me well enough to know that I spill a lot of things in my pants, and I get nothing but ads for spilled things on pants, right? They know their customer. They know when it's a 10-year-old versus a 28-year-old. But the point is, past bans have struggled on free speech grounds, right? There's an access to information that should be available even to young people. What's unique about the Florida law and the way it's written, which will be a legal test that we're going to be talking about, is it's not about the information, it's about the qualities of the app. So the infinite scroll, the addictive algorithm, the information you can access on a www.straightupcomputer.
Yeah, and he goes on and on and on. Okay, I want to go down this rabbit hole for a few minutes. Because there's a lot of people out there talking about the apps being and social media being very bad for children. Here's the ABC Good Morning America. Let me see, is this it? Yes, this is. I think they bring in Jonathan Haidt here. who just wrote a book about this. This is a Good Morning America about the Florida social media ban.
We turn now to a social media showdown in Florida.
Showdown.
Governor Ron DeSantis signing a bill banning children under 14 from having their own social media accounts, but it's expected to face a number of legal challenges. And Ariel Reshef joins us now with more. I can imagine a bumpy road ahead.
A bumpy road ahead. A lot of very strong opinions on this one. If this law holds, Florida will have one of the most restrictive social media bans in the country. The bill signed by Governor Ron DeSantis won't take effect until January 1st and is likely to face major legal challenges. The new measure bars social media accounts for children under the age of 14 and requires parental consent for 15 and 16-year-olds. It also mandates that social media platforms search for and remove the profiles of kids who don't meet the age requirement. Proponents have argued that access to social media is harmful to children's mental health. It's not yet clear which social media companies would be impacted, but the trade group NetChoice, which represents several major social media giants, slammed the move as unconstitutional, saying it violates the First Amendment, the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment, and federal law. Florida, it's not the first state to enact this type of ban. Arkansas and Ohio have also passed similar legislation, Lindsay, but both are tied up in court.
Since the phrase was used by request.
Butt slam!
Yeah, we got to bring that back. You got slammed. They slammed. They slammed him for this. So then they bring on Jonathan Haidt, H-A-I-D-T. He wrote The Coddling of the American Mind. Great book. And now he's gone off the rails as far as I'm concerned. He is now advocating for the only way we can do this is government ID. The only way, which of course is not the solution, but it is what I predicted.
And a new book is addressing this issue. It's called The Anxious Generation, How the Great Rewiring of Childhood is Causing an Epidemic of Mental Illness. And author and social psychologist Jonathan Haidt is joining us now to talk about it.
This is going to be interesting because all the research that even Zuckerberg said it in the most recent hearing, there's absolutely no proof. There's no proof that social media messes with your mental health. There's no proof at all.
Why this book? Why now?
Because so I'm a social psychologist, and as I've been digging into what's happening in the social lives of kids, I've graphed out all the data from all these studies, and what we see over and over again is that levels of mental illness, they're sort of stable in the early 2000s, and then right around 2012-13, they all go shooting up. We're talking about depression, anxiety, self-harm. Suicide is up by more than 50% among American teens. And it's not just us. It's actually happening in many other countries. So we need to understand why. And that's what the book is about.
So notice he says 2013. That's when the social media networks really started, where they had momentum at that point. Not the introduction of the smartphone.
And you really peg this to smartphone use, the age of the smartphone and seeing the prevalence of it. And this generation, Gen Z, is really an experiment in happens when you put a smartphone in everyone's hand.
Well, that's right, because the millennials went through puberty with flip phones. And flip phones aren't particularly bad. You use them just to communicate. It was when we gave kids smartphones, and then right around that time, they also got Instagram and other social media accounts. When kids move their social lives onto social media like that, it's not human. It doesn't help them develop. And right away, mental health collapses.
Okay, so this is bull crap because Facebook didn't even have an app for the longest time. If you recall, even Wall Street was like, Facebook, man, they're not going to make it because they don't have an app. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
So it wasn't the smartphone. I'm not saying the smartphone is great, but it wasn't the phone. And I have a sneaky suspicion that this lawsuit against Apple is more about taking away or distracting from the social media companies and the apps that run on the smartphone, focusing it on bad Apple. Oh, you're bad. I think we'll see.
I have a clip about that.
Well, let's bring it in before I continue.
We didn't do the mashup of the Apple, or I'm sorry, the 3x3, but this is the mashup of the 3x3 that brings every network into the picture and their commentary about Apple.
Tonight, the U.S. Justice Department is looking to take a bite out of Apple.
The Department of Justice filing a landmark lawsuit today against Apple. The DOJ in 16 states accusing Apple of monopolizing the smartphone market.
Antitrust lawsuit against Apple, the second largest company in the U.S. and the world. Its stock fell 4% today.
Consumers should not have to pay higher prices because companies break the law.
Attorney General Merrick Garland claiming that Apple's 70% domination over the U.S. smartphone market is a result of illegal behavior.
The DOJ alleges Apple, worth $2.7 trillion, unfairly tries to keep users hooked on iPhones and charges high fees from app developers.
Apple has consolidated its monopoly power, not by making its own products better, but by making other products worse.
The Justice Department joining more than a dozen states in nearly a 90-page complaint, accusing the company of violating antitrust laws through the iPhone, Apple Watch, and Apple Pay.
And DOJ alleges the tech giant blocks third-party apps and other services from competing with Apple products, like denying iPhone users access to any other digital wallet tap-to-pay service other than Apple Pay.
The DOJ specifically calls out Apple for allegedly boxing out other companies' devices to help keep track of items like keys, to give an edge to its own AirTag, and for allowing lower quality text messages between iPhone and Android users.
Apple pushing back, saying in part, this lawsuit threatens who we are and the principles that set Apple products apart.
Here we are.
If successful, it would hinder our ability to create the kind of technology people expect from Apple.
Apple denies the allegations and says a victory for the government would also set a dangerous precedent, empowering government to take a heavy hand in designing people's technology.
Apple basically telling DOJ, see you in court. The company is expected to file a legal response soon. Apple officials said in their statement tonight, DOJ's lawsuit is wrong on the facts and the law.
The feeling inside Apple's Cupertino headquarters is to fight back hard against what they are calling a misguided assault. And the Justice Department says if left unchallenged, Apple will continue to strengthen its monopoly.
But the department hasn't ruled out even breaking up Apple if necessary, a drastic step that hasn't happened since Bell Systems back in 1982.
Not to make it personal, but I can't send my mom certain videos or she can't send me certain videos. And so we leave
by your mom an iPhone.
Yeah, they're attacking the most successful device manufacturer.
They really are.
Meanwhile, I mean, this kind of just came out, but this happened between 2016 and 2019. Facebook was making a lot of their users try out their VPN. Did you catch this story?
No, I did not catch this story.
Yeah, so they had a VPN product, and so they, you know, they offered, they have their root certificate, and they were, and that this is all emails that are published now, and this is only just now coming to light. Zuckerberg, it was called Ghostbusters, this project internally, because they had the root cert, they were conducting a man-in-the-middle attack to intercept and decrypt what their users were looking at on Snapchat, YouTube, and Amazon. I mean, that is possibly the worst thing you could do, and of course, it makes you think about the VPN provider you're using. And they had kits, root kits kits for Android and iOS that impersonated official servers and decrypted traffic Facebook wasn't authorized to access. Of course not. So they could plan competitive moves against Snapchat and other companies. Nice. So,
wow.
That's not a big story at all.
No, like I said, I haven't heard this story and it's a killer.
And on top of that, it's now coming out that the Department of Justice demanded from Google all information about certain accounts, users who accessed certain YouTube videos around January 6th.
Yeah, this is a good one.
So there you go. You're watching the video, it gets heated up, so it shows up in your recommendation. You click on it, boom, you're on a list.
Yep.
You're on a list. The season of reveal is upon us, but we still have to deal with these social media companies, World Health Organization getting in on the gambit.
The schoolyard bully is increasingly becoming a cyber bully. A new study from the World Health Organization finds online harassment among adolescents is on the rise, magnified by the increase in their digital interactions.
About one in six adolescents say that they have been cyber bullied once or twice in the last couple of months. And here we can see that there's not much of a gender difference.
The study used data from 44 countries and regions across Europe, Central Asia, and Canada. Researchers surveyed more than 250,000 kids aged 11 to 15 years old. For boys, cyberbullying peaked at age 11. For girls, age 13. And these kids now spend up to 6 hours a day online. Bullying inside schools has declined over the past decade as cyberbullying surged. Social media companies such as Meta have beefed up child safety features recently in an effort to limit harassment and exposure to harmful content. But the WHO says there needs to be more education around the dangers of cyberbullying, as well as an increased investment in peer violence monitoring.
All right, so lots of monitoring going on. But I'm just thinking about, you know, it was Google who pushed so hard, Let's Encrypt, pushed so hard that every website has to be SSL encrypted.
Yeah.
Which I refuse on web pages that I host that are just pages of like a show notes. No.
Yeah, who cares?
Well, they also control the browser that then shows a little thief with a mask, like trying to get your data. He's reaching through your browser. Oh, dangerous. Oh, accept the risks. Move on. Who controls those certificates? Who controls the root certificate of all this stuff? Is it really to be trusted? I doubt that.
I doubt it too.
So now we bring on...
These guys are all scammers at heart.
Now we bring on our Surgeon General, Vivek Murthy. And this is on CNN with on the Amanpour show. And, everything's just bad.
Are you surprised that this country, I mean, you know, pretty close to top of the tables in the OECD nations... is the second most unhappy, depressed country in the world. Only Uzbekistan has it worse.
Oh, we're better than Uzbekistan. You might as well just call us foam finger number one.
Well, I'm deeply concerned, but I think one of the key lessons from this is that economic prosperity alone is not the key to happiness. And in fact, what we are seeing is that in many, many countries, which are increasingly modernizing in terms of their economy, their culture, et cetera, we're actually seeing that unhappiness is growing. And I think that's coming for a few different reasons. One of them is because we are actually pulling further and further apart from one another. With the benefits and efficiencies of modern technology and ways of life, we actually have fewer friends that we trust. We have fewer relationships we can rely on. And that is a direct impact on our happiness and well-being. The other challenge, though, is I think technology has been a mixed blessing for us. And I think particularly when it comes to young people, the impact of social media on their mental health has often been quite negative, which is why last year I issued a Surgeon General's advisory on social media and youth mental health to point out the fact that when young people are using social media, as they often are, for more than 3 hours a day, they double their risk of anxiety and depression symptoms.
Which is great. I mean, we can get more antidepressant drugs. You're not fooling me, Vivek. So let's continue on. By the way, 3 hours a day, try six.
You have, in fact, gone even further, comparing social media and the tech companies to 20th century car giants, which have produced vehicles without seatbelts and airbags until legislation mandated it.
What a horrible, horrible analogy. How about just drugs?
What's happening in social media is the equivalent of having children in cars that have no safety features and driving on roads with no speed limits, no traffic lights, no rules whatsoever. And we're telling them, you know what? Do your best. Figure it out. Mm-hmm. It's insane.
Yeah, that is what we've done to our children. We've put them in unsafe, untenable environments, and we're hoping for the best. And you know who else we've placed the burden on? Our parents. Parents all across the world are trying to figure out how to manage social media for their kids. These platforms are rapidly evolving. Many parents never grew up with them. And what they are finding is that their kids are often exposed to extraordinary harms, whether that's violence and sexual content, whether it's content generated by the algorithm that in some cases tells them to harm themselves. And the experience itself, many young people tell me, has led them to often feel worse about themselves and about their friendships. Yet, they feel they can't get off of it because the features that are built in are meant to maximize how much time we all spend on them. And that is a profound source of concern for me as a doctor, as I watch the profound and disturbing health effects on our kids.
Hey, Silicon Valley, they're coming for you. They're coming for you.
A little side bit in here,
yeah.
Which is This was the same kind of complaint that we heard in the 80s about video games.
Yeah.
Oh, these video games are going to ruin the children. And then and that evolved over time into, you know, simulations have good and bad benefits. But then we have these clips. Listen to this flow state of mind.
There's a state of mind called flow when you're completely absorbed in an activity that's challenging, but not too hard.
Artists feel it when they paint or draw. Musicians feel it when they play an instrument. It's a sense of deep engagement with an activity where you might look up and suddenly notice a lot of time has passed.
And flow can help you feel less stressed, says Kate Sweeney, a psychology professor at the University of California, Riverside.
Flow is really good for us. It gives us a lot of positive emotions, but it's also especially well-suited to times when we're really in our heads, when we're worried about the future, when we're ruminating about something and we just can't turn it off. Flow is a pretty good off switch for that kind of thinking.
Sweeney says an easy way to achieve flow is by playing video games.
Yeah, before you know it, you're in a movie produced by Dana Brunetti.
Yeah, well, there's that, but there's a part two to this. But that, it's like, wait a minute. It, you know, everything that we're, all the information that they throw at us is all bogus.
Can I just say?
They tell us one thing one minute, then they tell us something else the next. And this flow thing, I never heard of this.
I would say that, you know, if we on this podcast right now say video games are bad, there's proof, then you will get a million emails. There's no evidence. Video games are great. By the way, I think that's how a lot of dudes become trans. But the video game industry is huge. They have a lot of money. They got a lot bigger than Hollywood. They have a lot of money, and there's a lot of lobbying, and a lot of that is military-industrial complex who love the simulation. If you can become a third place at Le Mans as a sim driver, I'm pretty sure you can be good on the battlefield if you've played War of Warcraft. Or whatever it's called.
Yeah, sports ball.
Yeah, sports ball. And the other one, the what's the other one? Call of Duty. I bet you could. You bet you're a decent warrior. I bet you're a good soldier.
Well, that was the thesis of a movie that's never been produced again. It was produced once in the 70s called The Last Starfighter. And everyone that listened to this show had probably seen the movie. And it was based on the premise that they could put a video game out into public domain, and then the kid who could beat the whole game and be the best in the country could be solicited for an intergalactic battle of some bad dudes in outer space.
Yeah, totally.
And it's one of the really great movies, and it's never been done again, and it's never been fully explained why they can't produce this movie again. It's, I think it's because this is in play as we speak. But you can play the second part of the flow clip.
Good one.
There's really two groups of people who know a lot about flow. That's psychologists and video game designers. And video games are really kind of, as a whole, built for exactly this purpose. They're getting harder as you get better. They're showing you when you're making progress.
Sweeney studied how video games help people worry less. She recruited 300 college students and put them in a slightly stressful situation.
They were unexpectedly photographed and made to believe that their peers would be rating their picture.
While the students waited, they played a game that was similar to Tetris.
There were three versions of the classic game where players have to stack up falling blocks. There was a hard one where the blocks moved too quickly and frustrated the players.
And a slow one that was too boring.
And a third version that was just right and allowed players to achieve flow.
And the folks who were in that state, that flow state that we created with the game, they had an easier time waiting for that news about their attractiveness than those who were in the other conditions.
Sweeney says flow can be a bit of a gateway to addiction, but anything can be addictive if you do it too much.
It's a great tool for flow as long as you're not sort of overdoing it and checking out too much from your life.
I need flow. I'm going to download that Just Right Tetris game.
Yeah. I'm telling you, you get into state of flow, you're primed to become trans. I'm telling you right now, you can email me.
That's why it's called flow, because that's what you're going to call yourself. I'm Flo.
My name's Flo. But yes, it puts you in a state of trans. Yeah, it's simulation. It is a simulator, and you'll see. And I, you know, people say, oh, two boomers talking about video games. Hey, we've been around video games longer than you've been on the planet, okay? I was addicted to Asteroids for quite a while.
Asteroids. Well, there you go. That's the original.
That was OG. Pinball.
OG. That's an OG game. That's a great, that was a great game when it came out.
Asteroids was phenomenal, especially the arcade version. Anyway.
Yeah, well, that's the one that, yeah, that was the one.
Let's get back to how we're going to kill our kids now with AI. By the way, for you dude video gamers, this is for you.
Yes. And so, of course, now everybody thinks AI is going to be the replacement, you know, for romance. Not just dating apps, but actual robots and things. Mm-hmm. What's your view on that?
So I think it can be tempting and easy to look at AI as a panacea for all ills. And it might be easier and more convenient to turn to a chatbot than to go out and build a relationship. But these are fundamentally different. There is no replacement for in-person human connection. It's how we were evolved over thousands of years. We were wired, hardwired to connect with one another. And we've got to intentionally build that back into our life now because it is slipping away.
I think this is where we bring in the incels.
To bring this back in a way to social media that you are very concerned about, social media algorithms amplify misogynistic content. Again,
no, they amplify influencers telling you to get on antidepressants because hot girls take Lexapro.
All about women. Podcaster and business professor at NYU, Scott Galloway, has said, you know.
Business professor? Isn't he a professor of marketing? Business professor? Hold on. Stop
this. It's your beat.
Oh, Scott Galloway. You can't tell me he's a business professor. Let me see this. Let me see. What is he? Yeah, clinical clinical professor of marketing. What is that?
I have no idea what that is.
Sounds like something you can get off of a podcast.
Like clinical professor?
clinical professor of marketing.
At what school?
NYU.
NYU screwed up.
Yeah, I mean, we could give out clinical professor.
Clinical podcaster.
That's our next PhD.
Misogynistic content. Again, all about women. Podcaster and business professor at NYU, Scott Galloway, has said, you know,
fake news.
There is a really dangerous phenomenon. We do not want young, lonely, depressed males, you know, in society, which is what social media is also enhancing. Plus, all those incels, you know, women hating incels. All of this also is on social media.
Well, when it comes to the algorithms, I do think that they are highly problematic. I think that they tend to amplify content that has, as I think of it, a high emotional valence. That means that content that's going to stoke our emotions. If you want to draw people's attention in, psychology will tell you that the best way to do that is to stoke anxiety, fear, and anger. There's so many parents, Christiane, that I have met all across the United States who have told me that when their child was in a moment of emotional distress, they broke up with a girlfriend or a boyfriend, or they had a major disappointment in life, that at those times they have sometimes turned to social media for help.
Sometimes.
And that the algorithm has often served up content that in fact amplifies their sadness. In too many cases, parents have told me that in those settings, the algorithm brought content to their child that not only suggested that they take their own life, but actually walked them through how to do that. And in many cases, their child did end up losing their life. These are unconscionable circumstances and situations that should not be allowed.
Here's Adam's advice. Stop scrolling, start seeking. Get off of this stuff. Parents, you're going to be held responsible. We already are putting parents in jail because their kid got a gun and shot up the school. You'll be responsible for everything your child does if you don't get them off social media. Get them on the basketball court. Get them on the fencing boards. Anything but this.
Let them eat cake. The fencing court? How many schools have that?
That's how I got into fencing. I was quite good at fencing. You know that, don't you?
You bring it up every couple of years.
I was third in the
JC
in the,
was actually pretty good at
the
fencing.
Dutch National Foil. I never got beyond foil. I always wanted to do saber, but I got stuck at foil. But yeah, fencing it's pretty cool. And I remember they came to the school, they did a demonstration, and they choose two kids, and then you're sitting there like, oh man, I wish they would have chosen me. And said, hey, you can come by the studio. It's actually a fencing studio. Come by the studio. The maître will give you a free lesson. And I was hooked. I loved it. It's perfect for soy boys. It's great. You don't need to be that athletic to win at fencing. Anything but this. Anything.
They won't even let you do dodgeball anymore. No. Fencing's too dangerous.
Yeah, I had quite the reach, actually, as a kid. All right. We can now move to the latest in, I think, replacement migration. Actually, there's a guy, I think he's on, I know he's on Telegram, but he's also on X, RGV Truth. RGV Truth. And he is down by the border on the other side, and he is sending me pictures. It's all United Nations International Office of Migration. They got signs, they got instructions, they give you your bag, your hat, your card. It's all a setup. It's all to move people into our country because they don't want to have wages rise. In fact, we need to suppress them with cheap labor. The minute they get here, the system gets overloaded. See Chicago. Then we need work permits right away. Thank you, unions. And well, what about the people who were flying in? How about those?
Senate amendment that would
over 300,000. Yep.
Here we go.
Senate amendment that would ban the use of taxpayer money to fly migrants into the U.S. goes down in a whopping defeat. It was 51-47. Every Republican voted for it. Every Democrat voted against it. Republican Senator Bill Hagerty out of Tennessee proposed the amendment. He joins us in the studio, and hello to you. Was the writing on the wall before this thing even hit the floor?
You know, it was amazing. Chuck Schumer tried everything he could to block this until the very dead of night. We ran right up to basically a government shutdown before he finally capitulated and said, okay, we'll put it on the floor. But I didn't get it onto the floor till the middle of the night, perhaps 1:30 in the morning, when the vote went down. I think they thought no one would see it. No one would see that every Democrat voted to fly illegal migrants in here from countries like Haiti, Cuba, Nicaragua, Colombia, on taxpayer funds, using charter flights, flying them over our border and putting them into the interior of America.
How many are we talking about, Senator?
320,000 last year.
Now, on the other hand, if we don't do this, and this is an interesting way also a little bit about birth control and Planned Parenthood and abortion rights, but look at what's happening in Japan. Immigration not encouraged. Immigration. I don't even think it's easy to go and live in Japan. I'm not sure.
Very hard.
It is very hard. It makes sense. Makes sense because their birth rate has plummeted. It's been down for decades. And now this is the result.
With birth rates dropping dramatically in Japan, a company there has announced that it is stopping production of diapers for babies. It says demand is simply not there. Instead, it's refocusing on the growing market, diapers for adults. In fact, Pampers for your parents have outsold diapers for your newborn now for about a decade. It's a surprising piece of data that shines a light on a serious problem. The number of births in Japan dropped to a new low last year, with more than twice as many deaths as new babies born. If things continue that way, Japan's population could shrink by 30% over the next 45 years. I'm pleased to welcome to the day Jennifer Robertson. She's a professor of anthropology and history of art at the University of Michigan. Basically, the demographic, the chart has flip-flopped in the past century. And successive Japanese governments, have they tried and been unable to encourage, you know, the people to get married and have more babies?
Now, listen to this.
Very good question. Well, during the height of the Pacific War, roughly 1932 to 1945 in Japan, the government withheld birth control and also allowed soldiers to take two-week furloughs so they could impregnate their wives, to put it directly. Mm-hmm. Today, in democratic Japan, they can't do that. And so they are trying all sorts of options, giving more money to families to have children, The idea was floated back during the administration of the late former Prime Minister Abe in 2006-07 to introduce robots to the home, but that hasn't proved feasible at all.
Robots, robo sapiens. That's the answer. So
the real answer, which was the subtext in what she had to say, is financial incentives would make a huge difference if it was a real incentive as opposed to no incentive or, oh, here's a tax credit.
Exactly.
If you start giving people the kind of money they're just throwing away on the immigrants, you get some babies out of it.
Yes.
But no, they don't even think about that because they don't want you.
That's right. That's right. Well, that's our choice here in America. Make babies. That's my advice.
Okay. Did you put a little entremont, something a little different?
Yeah, please. Because
it's kind of an ask, Adam.
I'm kind of depressed now. I mean, we've got Japanese diapers for adults. I mean, what are we going to do?
Robots.
Robots.
How about this? This is I consider this
do I need to get the jingle?
No. Okay. I consider this a native ad. This is NPR ad for WTF Meals. This is not the bonus, which I don't really want to play, but I want you to play this.
Home Chef delivers home-cooked meals to your dinnertime routine. Each weekly menu rotates 15 oven-ready and fast and fresh meals that cook in the oven or microwave for a fresh, flavorful meal with minimal steps. After you're done, toss the tin for easy cleanup.
Wow. You're telling me that wasn't an ad? That is that was
No, no, that was an ad. It was actually an ad.
Ad copy, yeah.
So the question to you is, how does this differ from the 1970s and something called the Swanson TV dinner?
TV dinner, sure.
With the tin that you toss into the bin.
Yes.
This is exactly the same. They've reintroduced the Swanson TV dinner to the American public, making it some sort of high-tech bullcrap, kind of like where, you know, Apron and all these other operations kind of failed. Here, we're going to send you a whole box of these things. Cook it, put them in the oven or the microwave, although putting tin and stuff, you know, metal in the microwave is not necessarily productive.
Well, hold on a second. Let's see if we can find a Swanson TV dinner commercial. 1955. Here we go.
Wow. Say, you guys think you're lucky you can get Swanson TV turkey dinners, but I say Swanson TV turkey dinners are a bigger break for husbands. Now, you take me. I can be early, I can be late, I can bring pals to dinner anytime I please, and get this, my wife never panics.
Never panics,
my wife
is great.
She just takes Swanson TV turkey dinners from the freezing compartment of our refrigerator when I'm a little off schedule.
Oh, and right you are, Jack. And that is because Mary Lou knows that she can have a swell dinner ready in just 25.
Hey, honey, can you make a swell dinner for me tonight, honey?
5 minutes. Right. And talk about easy. Well, she just pops Swanson TV turkey dinners in a hot oven.
There you go.
You know, they're oven ready in individual heat and serve trays.
Yes.
With Swanson TV turkey dinners, you just heat and serve.
Heat and
you serve big and hearty slices of moist, tender Swanson turkey with grand giblet gravy.
Giblet.
And special cornbread dressing and fluffy whipped sweet potatoes.
Get to the tin
with
part.
With golden Swanson butter. And garden fresh peas with more butter.
Ooh, butter.
Mother Murphy, lucky me. My wife uses Swanson TV turkey dinners. And make your husband lucky, too.
Oh,
get
yeah.
Swanson TV turkey
make
dinners.
Make your husband lucky.
Swanson TV fried chicken dinners.
Oh.
Swanson TV beef dinners from your grocer's big freezer.
Oh, they didn't have the payoff of toss the tin.
Yeah, well, everyone expected to toss the tin. I guess they knew enough to do that anyway.
Well, I remember these things when I was a kid. Here's a 30-second from the 70s. This is better, maybe. Let's see.
Pull up a chair, America. Sit right down there, America. Swanson's cooking.
not just for you.
Swanson puts dinner together the way you like it. Crispy, juicy chicken with all the fixings. With Swanson, you choose dark meat or white meat dinners. You get just what you want.
I got the drumstick.
From today's Swanson, your choice of chicken dinners.
Swanson's cooking. Just for you.
No tossing of the tin. Anyway.
I say, as an aside, the family ended up selling the business. Of course, it folded after they sold it, and bought the Swanson Winery in Napa Valley. Based on the,
really? Yeah. Can you toss away the bottle? Of course you can.
You can toss away the bottle.
So you're right. It's the only difference is the term TV, because that was the big thing. Is that, and we had TV. Dinner trays, and you'd set
we
it up.
Had trays,
so you set it up, you'd be so sitting you on the couch sit on the couch and it would unfold and it was called that. It was a TV dinner tray or TV dinner table. Which one was it? I don't remember.
Yeah, I still have a set of them. I used to use them until the Jay came around when she was a little girl.
Yeah,
we have to eat in the dining room.
Oh, yeah. No, it was a big deal if we could eat in front of the TV. That was like, okay, kids, because the movie's on, before we had video recorders, can we sit, can we eat dinner while we're watching TV, Mom? And now it's just, throw it in the microwave, eat it while you're on your video game and scrolling on Twitter. Ah, how we've devolved. Start fencing, kids. Start fencing. Okay. Well, there was some, kind of odd. I have a couple of clips. I would like to play them. The M5M just went off the rails with this Rona McDaniels.
Yeah, I hiring, have a couple firing. Clips too.
I have, these are actually from Deadline. So it's what's her face? Nicole Wallace.
Mine will be from Jesse Walker.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to, since it's about MSNBC and not Jesse Walken, I'm going to play these first.
The times in which we do this, when we meet, you and us here at the table are, I don't have to tell you this, dire. The show has dedicated itself to a jarring pursuit of the uncomfortable truths about our politics and our political leaders and our justice system and, yes, the media. Today, this network is part of that story. On Friday, NBC News announced it had hired Rona McDaniel as a paid contributor. By Saturday night, it was reported in the Wall Street Journal that MSNBC President Rashida Jones had separated this network from that decision, indicating that Rona McDaniel would not appear on our air.
I love the seriousness of just how serious Nicole Wallace takes herself and the journalistic integrity of the NBC News department.
I find this whole story, because of the NBC, the guy who runs the news department being a spineless weenie and everybody, and this is the most amazing thing I've ever witnessed, that some news, that these people think they're newsmen and they're not. They're just a bunch of chatterboxes.
I'm Walter Cronkite's prodigy, damn it.
By Sunday morning, following her first paid appearance on NBC's Meet the Press, my colleague Chuck Todd went full William McAvoy.
Went full what? William McAvoy? Who's William McAvoy?
You're asking the wrong guy. I mean, I'll look up William McAvoy and see who it is.
Speaking on behalf of who's paying her. But once at the RNC, she did say that, hey, I'm speaking for the party. I get that. That's part of the job. So what about here? When NBC made the decision to give her NBC News' credibility, you got to ask yourself, what does she bring NBC News? And when we make deals like this, and I've been at this company a long time, you're doing it for access. Access to audience. Sometimes it's access to an individual. Mm-hmm. And we can have a journalistic ethics debate about that. And mm-hmm. I'm willing to have that debate. So I think, unfortunately, this interview is always going to be looked through the prism of who is she speaking for?
Unfortunately, they didn't have the debate about all the shills that they have hired, like John Brennan, for access to the intelligence community, all the former generals they have for access to the military industrial complex. They have Scott, what's his face, from Pfizer. He's always on CNBC for access to big pharma. That's the debate that I would have liked to have seen you have, Chip Todd, Tech Todd, podcaster. Did you find out who that guy is?
There's a million of them, including the ex-CEO of Pan American Airways. No, you can't figure out who it is. A football player, a botanist. There's that name is very common, so I don't know what the reference is to, and I guess you'd have to work at MSNBC to understand it.
Back to Nicole Wallace.
My colleagues Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski also weighed in this morning.
We weren't asked our opinion of the hiring, but if we were, we would have strongly objected to it for several reasons.
Oh, it's the newsroom on HBO. That's, well, there's a reference for you. The guy that you're looking for. Yeah. So it's
a fictional character.
Fictional character.
The hiring, but if we were, we would have strongly objected to it for several reasons, including, but not limited to, as lawyers might say, Ms. McDaniel's role in Donald Trump's fake elector scheme and her pressuring election officials to not certify election results while Donald Trump was on the phone.
To be clear, we believe NBC News should seek out conservative Republican voices to provide balance in their election coverage. But it should be conservative Republicans, not a person who used her position of power to be an anti-democracy election denier.
I love it when the news reports on itself. And they're not just reporting on other news people. No, themselves. They take themselves so... Do you not realize that we all laugh at you? That we, that we mock you? And wait, and this is the kicker. They take themselves so seriously for what are they doing? Like 900,000 viewers. This podcast has more listeners than you have viewers, people.
For our part here, we're going to cover this story as part of our ongoing series of conversations about American autocracy, asking the question or positing the theory that it could happen here. Oh. I'm going to read to you an excerpt from Timothy Snyder's On Tyranny.
Timothy Snyder on Tyranny. Who is this?
I don't know.
Is this another queer reference?
I'm standing by to talk to us. This is from the first page of the first chapter of On Tyranny. Quote, most of the power of authoritarianism is freely given. In times like these, individuals think ahead about what a more repressive government will want and then offer themselves without being asked. A citizen who adapts in this way is teaching power what it can do, end quote. In this instance,
what is that?
NBC News
what?
Either...
It's Timothy. Timothy knows what he's talking about. This, they are, you know what this is? Fart sniffing. That's what this is.
It's what?
Fart sniffing. They're sniffing each other's farts. This is nasty.
And then offer themselves without being asked. A citizen who adapts in this way is teaching power what it can do, end quote. In this instance, NBC News, either wittingly or unwittingly, is teaching election deniers that what they can do stretches well beyond appearing on our air and interviews to peddle lies about the sanctity and integrity of our elections, which Ronna McDaniels did yesterday on Meet the Press.
Can you say as you sit here today, did Joe Biden win the election fair and square?
He won. He's the legitimate
did he win
president.
Fair and square?
Fair and square, he won. It's certified. It's done. But I
Ronna,
do think,
why
Kristen,
is it
I,
you
let me
until
just say
now
something.
To say that. Why
because
is it taking you until now to be able to say
I'm going
to
push back a little because I do think it's fair to say there were problems in 2020. And to say that does not mean he's not the legitimate
Ronna,
president.
When you
now, wait for
problems.
It. Here we go.
But we've also said election deniers is not just they can do that on our airwaves, but that they can do that as one of us, as badge carrying employees of NBC News, as paid contributors to our sacred airwaves.
Oh. Yeah. I have that in one of my clips, too.
Our sacred
airwaves.
You're on airwaves, cable. I guess. You're on cable, lady. Our sacred airwaves. You're on dying cable. Everyone's cutting the cord with you. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my.
Yeah, I love the sacred airwaves.
Sacred airwaves. Yeah, how about that? Everyone get the vax. Sacred airwaves. Okay, well, since I'll just blow right into Trump here.
Well, I want to play my Jesse clips because they explain it a little better.
About the, how many do you have? I hate the Jesse stories.
Jesse Weller. Has got his presentation.
It sucks.
It's decent here. Rona won.
You don't have any. You don't have Rona won.
Oh,
Fiasco. Is that the one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ronald McDaniel's out. NBC just announced they're firing the former RNC chairwoman after one day on the job.
I'm banning him after this. I'm banning Jesse Walton from our airwaves.
That's 0.3 Scaramucci.
From our sacred airwaves.
Jeez. Chairman Cesar Conde just sent out a memo to employees that reads, I want to personally apologize to our team members who felt we let them down. We will redouble our efforts to seek voices that represent different parts of the political spectrum. The talent is already taking a victory lap.
I still feel like a little, it always feels wrong to talk about things, you know, in the company. I think it's a show of respect for the people who work at this company. You know, it's not about hiring a Republican. It's not even about hiring somebody who has Trump ties. This was a really specific case because of Ms. McDaniels and her involvement in the election interference stuff. And I'm grateful that our leadership was willing to do the bold, strong, resilient thing.
Oh, resilient.
So NBC Brass did a 180 after the talent revolted.
The people who were involved in hiring Romney McDaniel, they don't know the Nixon rule. No one close to the crimes.
This is about truth versus lies. Service to the country versus service to one man committed to toppling our democratic system.
But we've also said election deniers is not just they can do that on our airwaves, but that they can do that as one of us, as badge-carrying employees of NBC News, as paid contributors to our sacred airwaves.
You wouldn't hire a pickpocket to work as a TSA screener.
Oh, no?
And so I find the decision to put her on the payroll inexplicable.
This is what our news media has become. They're reporting on other news media.
It is great.
It's atrocious.
And by the way, these clips are better than the ones you provided because it's got Rachel in there.
Oh, that's so much better.
So we have a double ban. We have the band Jesse Waller plus
and Rachel McDaniels. All of them. This ban all of them.
The second was a kicker.
Ronna McDaniel tells Fox that she still hasn't heard anything from NBC. She learned she was getting fired by reading it in the media. And now she's looking for a lawyer. And her agency that walked her into this gig, CAA, just dropped her.
Ah.
What? Now there's information for you.
Yeah, well, I will agree.
The way CAA walked her into the deal and then fired her? What kind of representatives is that? Is that a true story? Do we know that for a fact?
Well, yes. And do you know that most news people have an agent, and it's UTA, Universal Talent Agency, who manage the talent according to, I believe, what stories need to be massaged by whom and where. And they, you know, this Laura Logan was telling me about this, that, you know, her agent would be talking to her boss at CBS, and the agent would be, oh, she's perfect to go to Afghanistan. This is underreported, underinvestigated. The talent agencies have a lot of power, and it's unchecked.
Didn't this crop up in a recent strike against some of these guys by one of the writers' guilds or somebody that said that these agents were having too much power? Remember that? It was like 5-6 years ago?
I vaguely remember. We should ask Dana. Dana will let us know.
Actually, he would give me a little, I could get a little information about
that. Who is a Ginger Spice's agent? I want to get her agent.
Well, I like the idea of this news thing, these news people being controlled by the agent. This is bull crap.
All of them at NBC are with UTA, as far as I know. And I hear him talking about it sometimes. You'll have to disclaim
maybe that's the real underlying thing, because she was represented by CAA, and we couldn't have that.
Well, CAA are the ones who organized the, what was it called? Not Never Again, Enough is Enough, Stop. What was it, around the Harvey Weinstein thing? Melissa Gilbert.
That's how famous it was. We can't remember.
Well, they suck at doing the real work. What was the name of that? Me Too. The Me Too movement.
Yeah.
But there was another one. They had us, not Melissa Gilbert, that's horrible. She's a little
Pussycat hustle. Hats.
No. They had it at the Oscars. They were all wearing T-shirts.
What? Oh, yeah.
And what was the name? What was Rose McGowan
I'm with
talked
her.
About it. I'm with her now. No. Time's up. Time's up. That's it.
Time's up.
Time's up. And who was that actress who is married to a CIA agent? Time's up.
It was more than one.
No, but it was important.
Tallulah Bankhead.
Not even close.
I don't know.
Not even close. I'm thinking about it now, and we'll get to it. Anyway.
Somebody that you're just hoping the chat room comes
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I am. I know. I'm waiting for come on, trolls. What are you doing? Time's Up was the one, and there's some actress, and she was very important, and she was leading this, and then it kind of failed, and then everyone sunk away into the background.
These things always flop.
Yeah. Yeah, Alyssa Milano. There it is. Thank you.
Oh,
trolls.
Melissa Milano. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Thank you, Clip Custodian. Anyway, moving right along.
And meanwhile, you get off on me for bringing Diddy clips in, and here you go off the deep end with this kind of detail.
That's
this is celebrity news. This should
very,
be, should have played
very a, weak comeback, Dvorak. Very weak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the best I can do.
Cry harder. Meanwhile, Trump Media and Technology Group, DJT stock ticker, soared. It's now, what are we at now? Almost $62.
Yeah, I think it hit 75 at one point and dropped back to 56.
Let me see. I have it. 71.20 was the high, I believe. Yeah. And now it's 61.96. So that's working perfectly. For Orange Man Bad, but we got to take it one step further. This is my favorite.
This morning, ahead of his criminal hush money trial, former President Trump is under a new gag order, prohibited from making public statements about witnesses, court staff, and jurors in the case concerning his alleged payment to porn actress Stormy Daniels.
He's a Democrat judge. He wants to do that because they're all trying to damage Trump as much as possible.
The gag order still allows Trump to criticize the judge and district attorney. The trial begins in 3 weeks, but another deadline looms closer. Trump has 8 days to post a $175 million bond in his civil fraud case. A big day on Wall Street yesterday could help him with his financial challenges. Shares in Trump's media company rose 16% on their first day of trading. His stake in the company is now worth more than $4.5 billion.
This company is now valued at about 1,000 times its annual revenue. It really doesn't make any business sense.
Unlike every AI company, every bull crap company we've seen in the past 30 years, of course it doesn't make sense.
We stand today.
Trump likely won't be able to cash out, though, till later this year.
See, this is the biggest lie I've ever heard. And they're all doing it. Oh, he has a lockup. He can't sell. Even the clinical professor of marketing was spouting this bull crap. Anybody who has a $4 billion stake can easily get $500 million collar. Do you want to explain collar so everyone knows what we're talking about?
Yeah, collar is an off-the-books sale of the asset to somebody else, some person or entity that gives you the money in advance. It's I don't know why it's called a collar. I should know.
Well, because it's a collar around your neck.
But the board, we know this too. The board can grant him.
Yeah.
The ability to sell the stock tomorrow, or at least sell $150 million worth of it tomorrow, which is not that big of a stake. It won't sink the thing if they want to. And he's the guy that keeps the thing in check. It's him. It's his name. If he went to the board and asked for that, you'd think they'd say no? That's the dumbest thing. Forget the caller.
Yeah. But
there's no way they wouldn't say no. They'd say, sure, here. You know, here's your lockup is over.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, but he can't sell it. How's he going to get? No, you know what? He's got a new gambit. I love it, and I'm buying me one.
It's annual revenue. It really doesn't make any business sense from where we stand today.
Trump likely won't be able to cash out, though, till later this year. To raise money even faster, he's now selling Bibles.
All Americans need a Bible in their home, and I have many. It's my favorite book. It's a lot of people's favorite book. We must make America pray again.
Yes. The so-called God Bless the USA Bible sells for $59.99.
It's huge. It's a great
You know,
book.
The funny, the actually one of the more charming aspects of Trump is you just cannot get him out of huckster mode.
No.
If he sees an opportunity.
I'm buying one. This is fantastic. Are you kidding me?
It's also everything that all these huckster things he's done, including the phony bills, the $2 bill, all the rest of it, the coins. It's all collectible. It's ultimately collectible to political memorabilia people.
Oh, I wish I could have gotten those sneakers.
The sneakers, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I know
came
guys.
A little high.
Oh, they only made 1,000. I know guys who were willing to lay down 10 grand. Like, I need these sneakers. Yeah. I need these sneakers.
Yeah, that was another one. Yeah, no, you can't, this everything from Trump stakes to Trump University, and they always try to slam him for this stuff. But this is a guy who is the American, the classic American guy who's just trying to make money any way he can. And he'll do it nickel and dime it or billions.
Make America pray again is the best slogan.
Unbelievable.
I love it. I want that Bible. It's the most popular book. It's a huge book. It's a great book. I read this book all the time. It's a great book.
I got them all over my house.
I got books. you can't not love it. That is, you're right. We are gaudy. That's who we are as Americans. Face it. We're not like commie socialists. We love this stuff. Deep in our hearts, we love this. I think also every immigrant who comes into America is like, is this a great country or what? This guy is selling Bibles. Come on. It's awesome. And of course, it flies in the face of this little report.
Christian nationalism is a cultural framework that idealizes and advocates for the close fusion of a very particular expression of Christianity with American civic life. It does include those orthodox and traditional beliefs of the historic Christian faith. But what it also includes are a number of cultural elements. These cultural elements are a desire for traditionalist social policies to be central to the society. It also has a desire for strict authoritarian social control.
We want Trump to be the dictator, to change politics forever.
We also see another cultural element is a desire for strict ethno-racial boundaries.
For example, an overwhelming majority of Christian nationalists believe in replacement theory, a conspiracy that claims white Americans and Europeans are being deliberately replaced by non-white immigrants. Many Christian nationalists also see black Americans as inherently more violent, thus justifying police brutality, deeming a certain ethno-religious group as having the only rightful claim to being American is known by some as white Christian nationalism, and many see it as a threat to American democracy. One of Trump's close allies, the Center for Renewing America think tank, has already forged policy plans for the second term, aligning with this far-right idea, with a statement on the CRA's website reading, "Our mission is to renew a consensus of America as a nation under God."
Oh no, we can't have that. One nation under God, indivisible. No, that, what are they trying to do?
I don't know. That's they're trying horrible, to screw us.
Horrible idea. I got did you see this boots on the ground from our fellow ham, November 7, Delta Romeo Kilo?
No, I did not. You can read it.
Yes, he's David. He is the Arizona State Communications Coordinator for the Convention of States, which we talked about. And because you were very against this idea, Ben, I'm all for it. And
I saw it come through, but I had not read it.
I'll read it because it's interesting. He said, "I want to weigh in about the Convention of States. I have my boots firmly planted on the ground in this department, once again proving we are the best podcast in the universe with the best producers." It's
unbelievable. Considering the lousy donations we've been getting recently, that we have this kind of access.
Yeah, and we don't have to hire anybody for this kind of access, Todd. "I've been a volunteer for the Convention of States for 8 years, and I'm currently the Arizona State Communications Coordinator. I've worked tirelessly to correct the perception John, that the Convention of States is seeking to change the U.S. Constitution. Nothing could be further from the truth, as we want to simply propose amendments to the Constitution and stick to the three subjects of term limits, fiscal restraints, and curbing federal overreach. We are already past the halfway point to call a convention, as 19 states have already adopted resolutions. A total of 34 is needed to call a convention. Although John thinks this is an unorganized pipe dream, we are actually a... I love our producers. We are actually a well-organized group of regular people volunteering part of our own time, talent, and treasure to something that can positively change the country in a desperately needed way. It's been a long road to get to this point, especially since a lot of people cling to the fear that this will jeopardize the Constitution. It will not, and what they don't know is that this country has a history of state conventions. We still use them today to negotiate water rights, mischaracterizing the movement as a constitutional convention when it's really an amendment proposing convention is what the enemies of the people do.
That's me.
They're an enemy of the people, John. I know that neither of you are enemies of the people. You wussed out, but felt it was necessary to bring this to your attention so that you guys could continue to be informed at the highest level of information. It is also my duty to do so. Thank you both for your own tireless efforts for the cause of liberty. I'll catch you in the morning, 73s. November 7, Delta, Romeo Kilo. There you go. There you go. So now you know.
All right. I appreciate that kind of note.
Yeah, it's a great note. And then it explains. I'm all for this Constitution of Convention of States.
We'll see how it goes.
I got the halfway there. Halfway there. Oh, goodness.
The new got cyber attack laws clip, which is kind of interesting. I also have a George Galloway tirade in front of Parliament, which I thought was decent.
Let's do that one first and then the cyber clip. Okay, George Galloway. Now he's the commie.
No, you're thinking of another guy. He's Galloway.
Yeah, Galloway just won his district, and isn't he a socialist?
He's a commie. Well, he could be, but he's a commie in the same way that Claire's a commie.
This is a three minute clip.
What?
This is a 3 minute clip. It looks
shouldn't be.
It looks misclipped too. Let me see.
The truth is that our country is in very real danger of falling into the trap of Mussolini, going around the world threatening people with Germany's army. Our politicians go around the world threatening people with America's army. But there's a big change coming, Madam Deputy Speaker. They don't like it on either side of the aisle. But President Trump is coming back in November, and he doesn't much fancy their NATO. He doesn't intend to send American soldiers to die for Kupiansk or for the Zelensky regime in Kiev. He has no intention whatever of continuing their war in Ukraine. And I heard a senior member of the House say, if America withdraws from NATO, we are going to have to increase our contribution to 5%, 6%, maybe 7% of GDP. These people seriously imagine that they'll continue NATO without the United States of America? What kind of NATO would that? Would really be Gilbert and Sullivan. Unless, of course, we're going to devote not 50 billion, of our public treasure, but hundreds of billions of our public treasure on defense. Well, have any of these people seen the state of the public realm in Britain? Have they seen the state of the National Health Service? Have they seen the state of our streets, our public buildings, our public transport? Have they seen the wage packets being earned in this country? Have they seen pensioner poverty? Have they seen fuel poverty in action? Have they met people that have to choose between eating and heating? And these fools want to spend not 50 billion, but hundreds of billions on weapons of war that we're going to fight with an army that could fit into Villa Park. 70,000 soldiers can fit into a single football stadium.
And
he was also on Big Brother, I think, wasn't he?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was on the Big Brother show.
Well, I thought it was a decent rant.
I have a.
They're predicting. Everyone's getting ready for Trump. It's like they're getting ready for Trump. I don't see how he's not going to get in. I mean, they're not going to let Biden in again with Paris woman.
I have a boots on the ground from Uza.
From where?
That's our producer's name, Uza.
Uza.
Regular troops on the ground from France, Germany, and Poland have arrived by rail and air to Cherkasy, south of Kiev. A substantial force, no numbers have been leaked yet. They are being housed in schools. For all practical purposes, this is a NATO force. Let the games begin. Mr. Kinzel's business cards will be in great demand, wherever that is. So, So we've got NATO troops on the ground. And everyone's talking conscription everywhere, going to war. Wow. I got to get Christina out of there.
I would say.
I got to get her out of there. This is.
Well, she's not going to get conscripted.
Well, not yet. But, you know, they'll have. Look, they took. Young girls are now fighting for Ukraine. Young Ukrainian girls.
Yeah. We're going to do everything we can to kill everyone who's Ukrainian. That's what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, so we can move in. All right, cyber.
Cargill can move in. We're not moving in.
Cargill's already. No, we need Cargill workers.
That's true. Cargill's already there. Cargill
executives, exactly. And we need to steal that Russian money so we bolster our SWIFT system. Good idea. All right. Cyber attack laws news before we take our break here.
Homeland Security will soon be requiring companies working in critical infrastructure report cyber attacks to the government in a timely manner. Otherwise, the company could face fines. More from NPR's Jenna McLaughlin.
In 2022, Congress passed a law that would require owners and operators of U.S. critical infrastructure to report cyber incidents to the Department of Homeland Security Cybersecurity Agency, CISA. That includes everything from the power grid to oil and gas pipelines. Now, CISA is releasing an initial version of those specific rules, or a notice of proposed rulemaking. Companies will have 72 hours to share cyber incidents and 24 hours after making a ransom payment to a cyber criminal group. CISA expects over 300,000 organizations will be accountable to the new rules. If companies fail to comply, they could be subpoenaed or referred to the Justice Department for potential civil action. The government believes these rules are vital during a time of rampant cyber attacks against U.S. companies.
Yeah.
So the government got sick of waiting to have this government corporate, agreement that was going on during the Obama administration. We discussed it all the time. And they're, it's proprietary, unless you know everything we're up to. And now they said, okay, we waited long enough. We're just going to pass a law, a rule, and you're going to have to do it or you're going to get fined big time after 72 hours if you don't join, with CISA, this bullcrap operations that's not going to do anything anyway. this is horrible.
Actually, I have two more quick things to discuss before we break. Have you heard this outfit, allsides.com? Sounds like a rainbow news outfit to me. But they declare now, based upon Gallup polling, that LGBTQ plus voters will actually decide the 2024 presidential election. Because over the past decade, voters identifying as LGBTQ plus have more than doubled. What's more, this group is growing. The LGBTQ plus demographic is now a larger voting bloc than the suburban white mothers that pundits love to discuss on election night.
Wow.
This is so, what's happening is, kids are afraid not to say, I'm queer. I'm queer. They're afraid to say they're straight. But if you really think, the Williams Institute recently noted this increase as well, reporting that among younger Americans, 14.9% in the 18 to 24 and 8.8% in the 25 to 34 cohorts identify as LGBTQ+. And what does that mean? Well, now we go to Sarah the Gentile, who says, "Hi, Adam and John. I'm a professor at a private university in the South." Hello. Once again, best producers in the universe. I wonder if she's a clinical professor. professor at a private university in the South and adjunct at a Big Ten university in the Midwest. Every spring at my Big Ten appointment, all faculty have to complete the Title IX training. These are usually 45-minute training modules on mandated reporting, assault on campus, and how we are to help students experiencing those situations, etc. I've completed scores of these over the years, and they've always been the same. The same narrator, same situation, same videos. This year, however, there's a notable difference. The gays are gone. Take, for example, this statistic shared in one of the modules. Quote, 13% of students reported non-consensual sexual contact by physical force or inability to consent. Rates were significantly higher for women and the TGQN students. This is a new acronym, TGQN, which stands for transgender women, transgender men, non-binary, gender queer, gender questioning, or gender not listed. You guys called it months ago. The gays are gone. There was no reference to lesbians or gays. They have been completely erased. Not one mention in this entire training. This was not the case last spring when I had to take the same training. Whatever starts in the university will always trickle down and out. So expect to see TGQN soon enough.
We'll keep an eye out for it. We had that clip a couple of shows ago with the girl who was bitching, the lesbian TikToker who was bitching about what's going on, and this basically mirrors what she was saying.
Let me tell you, the gay guys I know are angry about this stuff. They are pissed off. They are like, this is insane.
They should be.
And you know what? The gays can save us.
The gays.
The gays will save us. Yes, they will. And in a rare moment of camaraderie, the gays and the lesbians will actually join together. Which is not typical.
And that would be rare.
But they've got to. They've got to save themselves. Unbelievable. And with that happy news, I'd like to thank you for your courage. Say in the morning to you, the man who put the C in the Convention of States. Ladies and gentlemen, say hello to my friend on the other end, the one and only Mr. John C. DeVorek.
Well, in the morning to you, Mr. Adam Curry. In the morning, ships at sea, boots on the ground, feet in the air, subs in the water, and the dames and the knights out there.
And all the gays, in the morning to you. Hello, trolls. Hold on, hold up your hands. Let me see we've gone up a little bit here. We had 1552 in the last troll count we did on a Thursday. 1576 is your troll countage today. And we are very happy to have our trolls. They're in the troll room at trollroom.io, or you can join them by going to podcastapps.com and getting a modern podcast app. Now, when I tweet, we got a new thing called episodes.fm. So when I tweet out the link to the show and you click on that link, it brings up a list of 30 apps. And right there, you can choose which app you want to use. Yeah. This is another podcasting 2.0 innovation. They just keep on coming.
Unbelievable.
It is because these are people who care about freedom of speech and make sure that you're not stifled by Silicon Valley.
We will be.
Well, we won't be. There's no way. They can't. We are unstoppable. Now, of course, we're poor, but we're unstoppable and we're very proud of it. Also, you get updated within 90 seconds of a podcast posting its new episode, certainly this one and other smart podcasts, but there's hundreds of thousands of them who are using the new system, all part of Podcasting 2.0. We are a value for value podcast, which we started, is it going to be 17 years in October?
Yeah, any minute.
Wow, that's unbelievable. Hey, and isn't your birthday soon too?
My birthday's coming up on April 5th. We'll be looking forward to that. It'll be the day after the wedding.
Yeah, we're taking that day off.
Which is April 4th.
Which is a Thursday, correct? It's a Thursday?
Yeah.
Why is she getting married on a Thursday? Not getting married in the church?
They're getting married. They're getting independent, another Universal Life Church marriage, as far as I can tell. So,
Universal Life
Church.
Yeah, I know. I'm a minister. I'm a minister.
You're a minister.
I'm a minister of the Universal Life
Church. I'm a doctor of divinity.
And well, you're this boss above boss, always.
So, I do want to mention that when we get to the donation segment, I want to mention in advance. Do not read the first name on there and give it to me because that name should be anonymous, but it's listed on there and it would be a bad thing to say.
We don't want to have anything bad happen here. So I will not. So I will not
just
mention
pass
that.
It to me. Yes, and I'll read from his note.
I'll pass it to you. Let me just see the very first one.
The very first one. The one right at the top.
Okay, I won't.
That's got no note.
Yeah, I got it. I will not mention it at all.
And blank it out.
So value for value means that we are not part of the podcast industrial complex, which is not doing so well, actually. You know, they're having problems.
It has its moments. Not today, but it has its moments.
Well, and Bill Maher is about to make the biggest mistake of his life.
No.
Yes, he started a podcast network.
Oh, please.
Yes, yes.
Well, there goes money. I guess he's making too much money. He has to throw it away.
Yeah, so it's going to be the...
Podcast Network.
Yes.
I've never heard of such a thing.
The Club Random Studios Network. And he will be hosting... It seeks to host podcasts built on an idea of freedom of expression. Okay. And he's starting with that ESPN lady. He's hired her.
Who?
Sage Steele. She was for ESPN Sports Center. After there was some free speech lawsuits. I don't remember what that was about. But anyway, we would be perfect for that network if we thought they would work. But they don't. They don't. Then I'll tell you why. Because you get into the network, and it was like, oh, it's great. You know, you're going to get publicity and be a part of Bill Maher's system. Oh, great, great, great. And then all the advertising goes to Bill Maher's show.
Yeah.
Or maybe one other, you know, one other show.
If the show gets popular, yeah.
Yeah.
This happens. We've witnessed this, both witnesses. Well, I witnessed this with your network. You're the one that was doing a network, even though you now decry it.
Yes, I do.
And I also see it on Leo's network. These are networks.
I decry it.
Yours was a little more aggressive.
I decry it because we raised $65 million and nobody made any money. Hello?
And the kicker is, and you probably wouldn't say this as easy as I can, everybody complained. How come I'm not making more money? How come they're emphasizing this and not that? Everyone, you had all these famous podcasters working there, and they all complained, and they didn't complain a little. They complained all the time.
Yeah.
And that's what Bill Maher's going to get.
Yeah. That's why we had...
It's aggravating complaints.
Yeah. That's why you have a podcast relations manager, the worst job in the company. Richard?
I forgot.
And for a while there, we had Aaron. Aaron was running it, and he gave up. He just like, I got to leave this job. You couldn't pay anybody enough to deal with the aggravation and the crying that goes on, which is why these podcasts, then eventually they unionize, and then you're completely screwed.
Then your host. You might as well shut it. Shut it down. Shutter.
The Ringer. They just unionized.
The Ringer.
It's all over. It doesn't work. You cannot monetize the network. Just take it from me. Spotify spent $1 billion. So we didn't get any of that goodness, of course. I mean, we should have, honestly. Someone should have at least hired us for a couple mil and then fired us. But no. You know why? Because we speak truth. Truth to power. That's why. Are we speaking truth to power, John?
I don't know how much power is listening to the show, but we're speaking truth to somebody.
Somebody's out there like, oh, they're speaking truth to me. All right. So instead, we opted for the value for value model, which is actually pretty good if you can keep your costs low, i.e. we don't have Neumann mics. You know, we run the whole thing on a $500 Rode mixer.
And Neumann mics.
And that little B-Link computer.
I use a NUC.
We run
a NUC.
We run this thing on an
Intel NUC, old one.
We run this on a B-Link, a NUC, and a $500 Rode mixer. Okay.
Yeah.
That's also
a Scarlett, the ADD converter. That's about it.
That's what we run this thing on. And I got a couple panels on the wall. All right. That's how we run it. And luckily, we have people who provide value back to us when they say, you know what? I got some value from the show. I laughed. I cried. I got mad. I learned something. I learned something about the markets. I could make some money there. Save my life. Hello, COVID. Lots of stuff. People say, you know what? I've sent some value back. Time, talent, or treasure. All three of them are valid. So we have people running servers. People doing art for us. Let's talk about that for a second. We have artists who continuously love to make artwork. while we're doing the show live. It really is one of the coolest things. Yeah. And actually, I was on, oh, you're going to get asked. I was on the Union of the Unwanted. You have to go on this show. Have you heard of this podcast?
It's a union of the, am I unwanted? Are you unwanted? Who's unwanted?
Well, that's why I always was against this show. Like, I'm not unwanted. I'm very wanted. I'm loved.
Yeah, everyone wants you.
However, this is in essence, it's a Zoom call with like 12 or 13 people. And they all and they all have podcasts. Sam Tripoli, remember the guy who I called the sidekick? And then people were like, I'm not donating because
you spam
other podcasters. By the way, Sam and Adam, we're texting all the time now. We're buds.
Yeah, you guys should be buds.
Graham was on there from Graymerica.
He's angling for my job, let's face it.
Who, Sam?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, that's an interesting idea. I like that. Yeah. I like mm-hmm. that. Oh, all right.
Good luck with that.
John, I said on the show, without John or without Adam, there is no agenda. It's just not, there's no agenda.
Oh, a pun.
Yeah, I know. This without either one of us, the show doesn't work. It would just have to end. So don't die on me yet, old man. And I'll do the same. Because there's a lot of show left in us until 2028. Then we definitely have to end.
We can go off our merry ways.
Anyway.
I'll have the publishing company running good well by then. We have a kennel.
I mean, what else? And what more do you need? I don't know what I'm going to do, but yeah, there we go. What should I do?
Yeah, you got plenty of ideas.
Yeah, I got it. But none of them make money. That's the problem.
You can monetize.
Podcasting 2.0 is great, but it's zero money. It's for a legacy for the children. That's the only reason I do it. Anyway, these guys, all of them have their own podcasts, like the Liberty Lockdown. I mean, it's all great podcasts. And they all listen to No Agenda. They love us. They love you. And they want to have you on the show. And I would recommend you do it.
I could do that show.
I think you'll really enjoy it. I had a good time. I wasn't sure what to expect, and I had a good time. Mm. Anyway, back to value for value. We want, and many of them use value for value. They love it.
They should.
Yes, and so they're all poor, but they love.
Yeah,
it.
Well, it's because sometimes the email goes astray.
People have to say the email is really important. There's so many podcasts and things you can pay attention to. I mean, when Diddy is in your algo, sometimes people forget we have a podcast and we need to be supported. And then when the algos, because that's what it is, it's, he used the word killing. Well, throw that to junk. Get rid of that. It probably went to promotions, which is even funner.
A couple went to promotions that shouldn't have.
We want to thank Darren, who provides a lot of time and talent that Darren provides to the show. He does the Rock and Roll pre-show before every single Thursday and Sunday's broadcast.
I'm surprised you didn't say that the Curry and Dvorak in the corner there was too small.
It was. We talked about this for quite a bit.
No, but we didn't talk about that. You never mentioned it.
Okay.
You give Darren a lot of leeway.
He's Darren O'Neill. You know, his music taste sucks, but Darren is a good guy. We loved him. So we chose Darren's ISIS K. But the only thing I didn't like about it was the hand grenade. I was more distracted.
Yeah, you didn't like I didn't mind the hand grenade at all.
It was ISIS K, which is like a Special K packaging, classic No Agenda spoof art. We love those. 33% more psyops works for me, and then the hand grenade. Now, other things that we looked at, I really liked Scaramanga's meat food.
Yeah, I liked it too, but it was way too small.
It was too small, and then as you embiggened it, you see like some Chinese, some Asian cook.
Yeah, it turned out to be racist, yes.
It says really good. We were okay with the racism, actually, but you couldn't read it from afar, and it was newcomer food company.
Well, we weren't that good with it. We almost picked it, and we said no. We're not going with very good and some laughing Chinese guy. Put it properly, a laughing Chinaman.
I'm still laughing about it.
So that's not going to work.
I'm still laughing. When I see it, I'm like, it was good.
Yeah, it's very funny to look at.
We also looked at Nestworks Toshiba laptop, which was in the running for sure. And honestly, I think that the I should use that for the pre-stream art this morning. People stopped making pre-stream art. They used to do cool art for me to post when we go live. And they stopped doing that for some reason. I don't know why.
Well, I did use, I will say.
Yeah, I know what you used.
I used the most compelling piece that was on here, which was an AI-generated art piece.
A butt.
It's a girl she's the kind of woman that does exist in the real world that would have nothing to do with anybody who does this show or listens to this show. You can just tell. And a comic strip blogger did it, and he needs to get some. Yeah, he's gotten it down pretty well to create this sort of thing.
He's the butt
but
man.
It didn't help either.
Comic strip butt. No, it didn't. No, there's another reason why the newsletter got sent to spam. This blatant sexual.
That was not in the newsletter. It was just in the post.
Oh, okay. Well, still, do better.
Now you're making it up.
What else was there? Whale poop stuff. Nah. I don't know why. Fat lady all of a sudden, some AI fat lady.
And it's not fat. She's not fat.
No, that was.
You know what a fat lady looks like? That's not what we're thinking about.
It was very, just a very girl odd. A little, very odd.
Basically, you know, 5 pounds overweight is not fat.
No, I don't think anything else really did it.
No, I think that covers it.
Well, we did talk a bit about the No Agenda Racing Team car battery. Talked about that, but no, that really didn't.
Yeah, it wasn't compelling. Nestworks is on a downward spiral.
Tina just texted me. She's in a dress, in a gown, and she says, "I'm ready to meet Trump." She's at Mar-a-Lago tonight.
You know, Trump is in New York at the cop's funeral.
No, I know he's not there,
so he's not going to be at Mar-a-Lago. And meanwhile, Trump is going to the cop's funeral, and Biden is going to a donation thing,
fundraiser.
A fundraiser. He's not even going to see the dead policeman. And I got a number anyway. I got a number out of this. I got a couple of numbers. Ronna McDaniel is going to be paid $300,000. That was her fee for MSNBC. But for $100,000 at the fundraiser, you can get your picture taken with Biden, Obama, and Clinton in the same shot. So they're going to set up a photo booth. The three of them will be there. You go in, $100,000 check, boom, your picture taken. And if anyone sees one of those pictures on the wall somewhere, the guy's an idiot.
Okay. Anyway, Tina will have boots on the ground from Mar-a-Lago for me. I've never been.
It's big.
You know who's at her table?
Yeah, you told us already, but tell us again because I forgot.
Just so you know, that was an off-air conversation.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, James O'Keefe.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That should be interesting.
Yeah. I wonder if he's going to be wearing his gay disguise.
He's going to be filming it.
I'm very uncomfortable with what he's doing. It feels so mean. You know, he's psyop.
Busting poor, yeah.
He's honeypotting these poor gay
incel gay guys.
Homely gay guys.
Homely incel gay guys looking for any attention whatsoever. That's not good.
No, it's not. Yeah, so anyway.
And he's just short of wearing one of those old Groucho Marx mustaches and a phony nose.
Exactly.
That's what he looks like.
Anyway, thank you very much, Darren O'Neill. NoAgendaArtGenerator.com is where you can find all of the art. We have over 30,000 pieces there. Not bad for 1,646 episodes. We have hundreds of artists. You can join them. You can open up an account at NoAgendaArtGenerator.com. Thank you to all of the artists for all. We appreciate everything that you do. But only one can be chosen, obviously. Now we go to the treasure part. We'd like to thank our executive and associate executive producers first. These are $200 and above, and John's going to kick it off.
Yeah, we have a not necessarily perfect anonymous guy is in Texas, $420.69, but I will read his note. Starts off, he's kind of one of these guys. What are you up to, weirdos?
Oh, I know exactly. Well, he's at 420.69, so okay.
Yeah, 420.69. Hello.
I'm not complaining.
Just donated to the show, but I saw on your Yankee-looking site that you mentioned my name on the show if I donate over 50. I do not want to be named. Now, this is a guy who doesn't want to be named, but he sent an email in over the years where he's named. Okay. No need for recognizing a mooch who had been listening since I first heard Adam on the Joe Rogan Experience a while ago.
There you go. Rogan.
Big
Rogan
fan of the show and appreciate you guys. You guys make me laugh. Stay gay.
Okay. Anonymous.
Yeah, that guy.
Appreciate you. No jingles? Nothing else there?
No, that was it.
We move on to Brandon Jansen, Parts Unknown. 403.33. He has a long handwritten note, but I shall read it.
And by the way, this is another donation that is problematic, like the one we just read, because he had sent in a supposedly sent in a certified letter with a donation and never got through. And we went back and forth and back and forth. And finally it came in. And then he writes this unreadable note.
I can read it.
Okay, if you can read it, you can read it.
Yes, Brandon Johnson. ITM gents, thank you for your courage. Firstly, everyone listening to this needs to check their conscience and contribute one of the three T's. Karma will take note and peg you back in kind.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm speaking from personal experience. As my first treasure donation was a show number donation for episode 1601, I expected nothing in return. By the way, that we do the same. We give the value, we expect nothing in return. It comes, but we expect nothing. And we're right. Most of you don't send anything. All I asked for from the universe was house selling karma. And literally the day that my tithing was accepted, we sold our house. That morning, I woke up seeing threes everywhere. So it should come as no surprise it all worked out. Signs are all over if you simply pay attention. Second, please revert back to my first point. If you value the show and appreciate the insight of our two gracious hosts, Adam and John, then do not take them for granted. All of us producers must contribute time, talent, or treasure to keep this train rolling. Lastly, this completes my knighthood, and I would like my name to be Sir Rev Joseph James plus the 33. No, Joseph James the 33rd. Sir Rev Joseph James the 33rd. Please, and thank you. Blanton single barrel bourbon at the round table. Okay.
Yeah.
If I could also humbly request baby making karma for me and my smoking hot wife of 21 years, along with the following jingles. Oh, I didn't see any of this. Okay. Donate. I got the donate. Hold on. Sorry. This part I wasn't quite ready.
That's
for.
Okay.
Okay. Donate. 33 is the magic number. Okay. Magic number. Got that one. And little girl, yay. Oh my goodness. Okay. And the Go Podcasting. Okay. Well, I think we can do all of that. Keep up the great work. Gentlemen, Godspeed. Sincerely yours, a faithful knight. P.S. What does he say here? It's kind of a funny note. P.S. In light of the good news jingle, I'd like to share this quote. The world isn't getting... something okay. Or darker. I guess the world isn't getting darker. The veil sheltering you from reality is being lifted. Ooh. All right. Very nice.
You've got...
Donate! Donate! Donate!
Karma.
33. That's a magic number. It's the magic number.
What? Oops.
Go podcasting!
Wow! There we go. And your baby made karma. Yeah, there we go.
You've got karma.
There you go. All right. Did it all. I had one miscue. Sorry about that.
Tower Comics from Fort Saskatchewan, Alberta, Canada, 333, Paris of Canada.
What do I hear in the background over there?
Oh, okay. What you're hearing is they've decided because of the potholes... Of course, I later have to go get my new tire.
Since you complained about the potholes.
What you're hearing is a machine that is shaving the road.
For
repaving.
Oh, so they're fixing the potholes.
Locally, they're going to, well, this is not where the potholes are. The potholes that are dangerous are on the freeway.
You need to stop complaining. They're fixing it for you.
Well, they're making a lot of noise, as you can tell.
They are.
Anyway, in Alberta, Canada, 333. It's interesting that we got no classic 333.33 donations on this show. Mm-hmm. In fact, we only had a total of 43 donations over $50, which is really low for a Thursday.
Yeah.
And Tower Comic says, thanks for the deconstruction. Can I get a de-douching?
You've been de-douched.
For my buddy Blaze. And you would like an R2-D2 karma and a jingle amen fist bump.
Yeah, we can do that.
Amen fist bump.
You've got karma.
Amy Byrne is in Swanona, North Carolina, 333. She says, thank you for making me laugh when there's so much grim news. By the way, if you've been listening to this podcast the whole way through and you haven't laughed once, never listen again. It is hard. If you don't laugh at least once during the show, then we fail. Really enjoyed Adam's testimony. No bells or karma. All right. Thank you very much, Amy.
That's sweet.
That's very sweet.
Here we go to Eli. Eli the coffee guy slips in an ad in Bensonville, Illinois. He's very sly. $212.12. I would like to credit this donation to Scaramanga.
Oh.
For his tree lobster art from the last show, which cracked me up.
So that's a
gruesome or not.
Is that a switcheroo then, or is just a dedication? No, credit. He says credit.
It's a credit, so he gets the donation.
Right. Scaramanga.
But the plug is coming. I had the pleasure of meeting him at a brewery event where I was selling coffee a few weeks ago. John, you were spot on in the newsletter. The bridge did fall like it was flimsy. Two jingles can summarize this week's bridge collapse. Please play Coincidence, I Think Not, followed by Build Back Better, my wife's favorite jingle. Producers who want coffee with no bitter burnt taste, visit gigawattcoffeeroasters.com and use the code ITM20 for 20% off your first order. Stay caffeinated, Eli the coffee guy.
I will say I ran out of Black Rifle this morning, and so then I picked up one of their the gigawatt packs. I need a little more than I would put in the Black Rifle, but it's good. It keeps me awake and jolly.
Coincidence? I think not.
For a better life beyond your freedom, build back better. For someone else.
Leora Coronel?
Coronel.
Nevada City. Is it Nevada City if it's in California or Nevada City?
It's still Nevada City.
Associate Executive Producer, $21.60. ITM gentleman, my smoking hot husband, Gus, has been a devoted listener since I hit him in the mouth in 2021. You're a good wife. And I'm ashamed to say he still hasn't gotten around to donating. Please deduce him for his 48th birthday tomorrow, March 29th.
You've been deduced.
Huh. Linda Lupatkin comes up, and she's the final associate executive producer on the short list.
Wow, short.
She's in Lakewood, Colorado, and of course she wants jobs karma, so there's nothing new there. She says, for an exceptional resume, go to imagemakersinc.com for all your executive resume and job search needs. That's Image Makers, Inc. with a K. Or find Linda Lupatkin, Duchess of Jobs and writer of resumes on the producer list. There you go.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
You've got karma.
And that is it for our executive and associate executive producers. As you know, the rules are anything above $200, we will read your note, regardless of what it is, as long as we can read it. And it's not too long and it's not too crazy, but we pretty much read them all. Anything under that, we pick and choose where we can. It depends on time, depends on what the note is. But if you really want to have it read, $200 above is where you go for your executive and associate executive producer status, which are real credits. Go ahead, ask Dana Brunetti, producer of Gran Turismo. Should have been an Oscar winner.
I'm glad you saw that movie.
I am too. I loved that movie. I sat there and I said, Phoebe, that was a great movie. Phoebe's like,
She's watching the movie with you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She loves it.
You know, I have to mention this. Dogs can see LCD screens. They never could see a television
set. That's right. LCD screens made all the difference in the dog's life.
When dogs started seeing cats, too. And so dogs started watching. And so dogs watch TV now.
I know. It's great. She loves it. But I just especially loved like the when they show the inside of the cylinders firing and
The movie, the special effects and everything, that movie was so well produced and well done,
well shot too. The director,
and I think it paid out, but it was like, you know,
oh no, they made bank up front. It was one big commercial.
Oh yes, that's
come on,
true.
Brunetti's no dummy. He's like, hey, and by the way, for all
you're gonna pay me in advance, I'll do anything.
For all the crap I gave him about 50 Shades of Grey, this really makes up for it. Not in money, but it makes up for it. Anyway, we don't read anything under 50 because people there like to stay anonymous. So $49.99 is always good. Don't add any fees because that will put it up over the 50 and then we might make a mistake. And of course, we want to thank everybody. And if everybody did this, it would be great if you just take out a sustaining donation, which is some kind of regular thing that you automatically have paid. And it can be anything you want. If everybody did that, we'd be in Fat City. Instead, here we are.
That would be the day.
Short list. Keep
us
going.
I like people who idealize the whole situation and think they can do exactly what you described.
What's that?
Oh, you know, if I got like 500,000, I only need like 10,000 people to listen to the podcast. and if I charge them each $10 a month, oh, yeah, that's perfect. Because at $10 a month, that means that's like over 100. That's $1 million a year. I'll make $1.2 million a year with 10,000 listeners.
Yeah. That's how they always start. That's how we started. And then
with our $2 donation.
Yeah. Boy, did we learn a lot.
You learned fast.
We did. We learned. And newsletters help podcasters if they can get them through. So thank you very much. NoAgendaDonations.com is where you can learn more and be a producer. No one here is a listener. You are a producer of the best podcast in the universe. John will take us now through the 50 donations.
The Highland Craig started us off from New Braunfels, Texas.
Braunfels. Yeah.
Whatever the case is, I'm still irked. 182.18. She has a nice, I think it's a wife that wrote this note. Yeah, she's helping my hubs and I, she says, about COVID. Nice note from one of the Highland Craigs, Mrs. Craig.
Yes.
Dwayne Biblo in Calgary, Alberta. No jingles, no karma, of course. 130.03. Baron Surfer, S-I-R-F-E-R, in Shasta Lake, California. Full to the brim, by the way. 123.45. Hakan Anderson in Portland, Oregon, 105.35. Cole McCormick, birthday boy, first time donating. He needs a de-douching.
You've been de-douched.
Cole McCormick. I know this name. I know Cole.
Cole McCormick. He needs some jobs karma at the end. He donated 105.35.
All right, thanks, Cole.
Hi, Hawker in Higginsville, Missouri. 100, and he says, states reality, outstanding product.
No kidding.
Kevin McLaughlin comes in with boobs, 8008, 1646 boob donation. Sir Richard Hufford in Tempe, Arizona, 8008. Happy Easter. Which is coming. Easter Sunday's coming up. Let's bring the donation. Maybe we get some good Easter donations coming up for Sunday.
Guess what? We're working on Easter.
And we're working on Easter.
The High Holy Day.
It's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Sir Richard Hufford in Tempe, Arizona, who came in with AOA, as I said. Ryan Antoniotti.
Antonetti.
You don't think it's Antoniotti?
Well, it says right there.
He's got his pronunciation, Antonetti.
Antonetti.
Well, that might be the way you pronounce it.
Yeah, I think so.
8008 for him. Chris Josick in Phillipsburg, New Jersey. Let's see if he's got anything. No. 8008. He says he's here for his two favorite boobs. Love you guys.
I love you. Mean it.
Isn't that cute? That's cute. Derek Allison in Rock Springs, New York. 80. We got to be 8008 day.
Yeah.
And he says, Shiloh Leaps is a douchebag.
Douchebag.
Let me get that out of the way. Dina Carroll in Laughlin, Nevada, 7227. It's an interesting town. John Hoibor.
Hoibor. Hoibor. Hoibor. Hoibor.
Well,
it means hay farmer.
Mr. Hay Farmer, 6114. Chad Hewitt in Folsom, California, 6006 small boobs. Paul Webb in Twickenham, Middlesex, UK, 5555. Matthew Gullen in Miami, Florida, 5510. Adrian Christensen, 55. Brian Conger, and I think these are all $50 donations that have been jumped up. Indianapolis, Indiana, 5272. John Robertson, Yucaipa, California, 5272. Person of Merit Comics, a lot of comic guys today. Columbus, Ohio, 5272. And Scott Nelson in Council Bluffs, Iowa, 5001. And the following people are $50 donations. Starting with Amy Grohl in Burien, Washington, right outside the airport. John Walter in Wenatchee, Washington. Fall Line Farm in Columbus, Georgia. Mm-hmm. Go visit them. Quinerix Inc. in Bradenton, Florida. He put a note in here. It says, John is great. Adam, you too. Okay. Any comments on the sensationalism? Jack Schofield in Yankeetown, Florida. Shauna Norberg in Seattle, Washington, another Washingtonian. Brian Emmenheiser in Lancaster, California. Forrest Scott Brinkley in Christiansburg, Virginia. Aaron Weisgerber in Bend, Oregon. Michael Elmore in Gastonia, New York. Richard Gardner, who I always think is in New York. John Taylor in Florissant, Colorado. Zev Green in Teaneck, New Jersey. And last but not least, the good old Brand family in Placerville, California. I want to thank these people for making the show 1646 a reality and a winner.
Also, we got a note here from, this is from Spartanburg, who will be title changing today to a Baron. He says, I don't know if I ever got my make right to Baron. Oh, okay. So no, I guess we missed it. So we're doing it now. If indeed I'm a Baron, I want to relay my disgust with Adam's lack of appreciation of Poonami for clip of the day.
Yes.
That very well is clip of the year. He says, as a Baron, I wish to confer clip of the day from my territory in your honor. Keep up the great work. And yes, I know. Send more money. James Nittle Clerical Change. Please. That's his name. Please update my name from Spartanburg to Spartanburg. Okay. Baron, spell check your words. Spell check works wonders, Dvorak. Ha ha. In the morning. Thank you both for the best podcast in the universe with my latest donation.
I will say that I there's typos in the newsletter on and off.
I catch one a lot. I missed one.
Well, you missed more than one, but the one that you missed that I missed, we all missed, is the word shipping was spelled shopping. And everybody and their sister seems to have caught that.
The ones that received the email.
Yeah, the five guys who received the email all wrote in.
Well, people who receive it read it. That's the good news.
Well, hope.
With this latest donation, I now qualify as a Baron. Since you betrothed my title, I only think it's fair to have the best choice of your remaining lands for you to determine. I would like for them to come with copious concubines to help maintain order in the territory. Hope the double credit deal isn't the exit strategy. Keep up the great work. I love the value for value model. Not a bad concept from a couple of mofos. Oh, beautiful. Thank you very much. Here's the jobs karma that was requested.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
And you can go to noagendadonations.com. Thank you again to our executive and associate executive producers for 1464.
Our formula is
1646.
We hit people in the mouth.
1646. It's a lot of episodes, people. Yes, we've got some birthdays to talk about. A nice list today. Hakon Kunla Anderson wishes his niece Tilda a very happy birthday. She turned 1 year old on March 24th. Cole McCormick turned 27 on the 25th. David Wicker says happy birthday to Hope. She is turning 7 today. We have Yvonne Fergus turning 58 today. And it is Jackson Smith's birthday. And Jackson is turning 5 today. And he is looking forward to the Noah Agenda ABC book, which I think is coming in May. So stay tuned. Burgers 33 celebrates today. J.P. Smith wishes his son Jackson Wyatt Smith. Oh, I just did that. And Leora wishes her smoking hot husband Gus a happy birthday. He turns 48 on March 29th. Happy birthday from everybody here at the best podcast in the universe.
It's
And we just read the note from Spartanburg, and Spartanburg becomes a baron today, and he can figure out his own protectorate, and that, of course, will be part of the No Agenda peerage. Congratulations, Baron Spartanburg. Thank you very much for supporting the No Agenda show. Then we have one night to do today, so there's our one night blade. At least we have a night.
Yeah, here you go.
Good. That's good. Okay, we'll hop up on the stage there. Brandon Jansen. Thank you very much, Brandon, for supporting the best podcast in the universe. The amount of $1,000 or more. We're very, very happy to have you here and to pronounce the KD as Dr. Sir Rev Joseph James the 33rd. Ah, Knight of the No Agenda Roundtable. For you, sir, we have, by your request, Blanton's Single Barrel Bourbon. Hookers and Blow, of course, Rent Boys and Chardonnay, if you're into that. Diet Soda and Video Games, Fish Pie and Fellatio. We have Beer and Blunts, Ruben S. Women and Rosé, Gayson and Sake, Vodka Manila, Bong Hits and Bourbon, Sparkling Cider and Escort, Ginger Ale and Gerbils, Breast Milk and Pablo, and of course, the Mutton and the Meat. And you can go over to noagendarings.com, check out these one. You know, someone was looking at these Signet rings and sent off a note, and I had to send it to Jay. He says, I looked at the Latin on the ring. It's in, now it's a signet ring, so it's in mirrored. And he said, and he had the Latin. He said, that means something about little girls. I'm like, what? And so I put
little
his,
girl, yay.
Yeah, literally like little girl, yay, or happy little girl. I put that into the translator. Yeah, I said, but this is not right. I'm confused. He had the not mirrored the mirror. Of course,
yeah,
it says hit them in the mouth, but it's kind of cool that if you don't mirror the Latin, it looks like it says little girl, yay. That's a liberal liberal translation.
But it may have been done on purpose by Couture. He's had that kind of sense of humor.
He's that kind of guy. Anyway, you, sir, I should say, Dr. Sir Rev Joseph James the 33rd, you'll get one of those. Go to noagendarings.com and give us your address. There's a little sizing guide there. Send that in your size to us as well. And it comes with wax to seal your important correspondence along with a certificate of authenticity. Welcome to the roundtable, and thank you for supporting No Agenda.
No Agenda.
People getting a lot of value today. Going long, alert the affiliates. We have a couple of meetups to promote, but we first have a report from Wageningen, the Wageningen Eat Up Report. That's in the Netherlands.
This is André, live from the No Agenda Eat Up.
No Agenda Eat Up.
In Wageningen.
So yeah, from the heart of the Frankenfood Valley.
In Wageningen.
This is better, and I just want to remind you to stay humble, stack sats, and starve the beast.
Hey, this is Osmos.
This is Roland again. Connection is protection.
Hi,
Natalia here, and I'm dying because I have a lot of hot flashes.
She's looking for a boyfriend.
Hi, this is Ingrid. And Adam, why do you think we're all the time or high or hammered? We just beep fun. In the morning, Damian and Joe, the woodwall, lover of dirty jokes. We're a bit low on dirty jokes here.
He's been a book plug, was it?
Fiorella, adios, mofos.
These mofos just arranged my marriage.
In the morning, lots of meat here in the meetup in Wageningen. Thanks for a wonderful meetup tonight.
Hartstikke leuk here.
I'm the waiter at the restaurant. Otto.
I gotta hit him in the mouth.
All right. By the way, I'm planning a trip. I'm going to do a solo trip to the Netherlands, see my daughter, I think maybe the beginning of June. So we need to plan a meetup. I want to go to one of these meetups. These people are having too much fun. I love it. Meetups happening today. North Georgia monthly meetup at 6 o'clock at the Cherry Street Brewing in Alpharetta, Georgia. Saturday, the Ventura County, California most peaceful meetup. Noon o'clock at Institution Ale Company in Carmillo, California. And also on Saturday, the Osaka Castle Cherry Blossom.
Camarillo,
yes, thank you. Back to Saturday, the Osaka Castle Cherry Blossom Viewing and Amygdala Shrinkage Meetup, 1:33 p.m. in Osaka Castle Park, Osaka, Japan. I know we have a lot of nights in Osaka, so I'm looking forward to a wonderful meetup report. It's Sir Bill of Osaka. I've met him several times. Of course, I've also met him in Tokyo. So looking forward to your meetup report. And then finally, the Biggest Little Meetup, 2:33 at Big Horn Tavern in Reno, Nevada. That'll be on Saturday as well. On the horizon for April, Raleigh, North Carolina, Mount Holly, North Carolina, Colorado Springs, Myrtle Beach, Tulsa, Anna, Texas, Dayton, Ohio, London, UK. London, we can do better than the last time. Canton, Georgia, Chambly, Georgia, Keyport, New Jersey, Indianapolis, Indiana, Richmond, Virginia, Aurora, Illinois, San Diego, Leiden, the Netherlands, and Richmond, Virginia. Again, these are the No Agenda meetups. This is where you really get, you heard the meetup report. That's what most of them were like, only it sounds funny when you have Dutch accents. But all of these meetups are that enjoyable. People love them. You will love it. You cannot spell community without the unity, and connection is protection. Go to noagendameetups.com. If you can't find one near you, start one yourself. It's easy and fun.
Sometimes you want to go hang out with all the nights and days. You want to be where you won't be, triggered on hell's flame. You want to be where everybody feels the same. It's like a party.
And I'm going to make it easy on you. I have zero ISOs. I don't know what happened, but I wound up with none.
Wow.
So it's going to be one of yours.
Well, I don't have anything good. I don't think maybe.
Maybe. Okay.
Let's try. Let's start from the bottom here and go with yeesh.
Yeesh.
Okay. No. No.
Okay, then go to tragic.
It's tragic.
It's better than yeesh.
Yeah, it is. And then we had somebody that submitted this one. This is the producer submitted one. This is the good work, TikTok.
Good work there, TikTok.
Let me hear the tragic again.
It's tragic.
Good work there, TikTok.
You're right. None of them are really fantastic. Which one do you like the most?
I like the TikTok one.
Good work there, clear. TikTok.
Okay. Now we'll use the good luck there, TikTok. That's good.
Good news. Good news.
That's right. We're about to send you off into your long weekend. We got all kinds of wonderful things coming up, and we want to make sure that you leave here with a song in your heart and a skip in your step. So we bring you one good news clip that is guaranteed to bring a smile to your face. John, what do we have today?
Well, today we have a woman who was in the hospital. She had cancer. She got over cancer, and she was so happy as she left the hospital. And I, by the way, I have a short comment to make. Mimi has a short comment to make about this clip. She supplied this one. She gets a proposal for marriage as she gets out of the hospital.
Story to brighten your morning. One woman celebrates completing her final round of chemo treatment and got a huge surprise. This video that you're looking at is going viral, showing 27-year-old Angelica May walking out of the hospital after finally beating stage 2 breast cancer. Now, that's already going to be an unforgettable day for her, but it's what happened next that has people on social media buzzing. Watch.
Congratulations, Auntie Julie. I'd like to know what you
So I just want to say, like, I love you, and I want to know what you're like, okay, we married.
Oh, my goodness, how sweet. That is so, so sweet. And, of course, she said yes. Hey, and if you would like to send us your good news story of the day, just email us your pictures and your videos to gooddaygoodnews@fox.com.
That's right. gooddaygoodnews@noagendashow.net. Exactly.
And Mimi pointed out that, what kind of a douchebag asked her to get married after she's cured of cancer?
Yeah, that's what Mimi would say.
A rescue cat that ran up a tree. A lost dog is home and heavy. Will they play a good news clip? A good clip, we'll see.
That's it for your good news. And it was good news. I mean, yeah. I mean, I understand what she's saying, but don't throw any hot coals on my
shade.
Good news. Shade. Don't throw shade
on the good
throw
news. She got.
On, yeah. we've got good news coming up next on the stream. Grimerica. That's the boys from Scandinavia. Unveiling the unseen science of upside. Well, you know you need to stay tuned for that one. You can do that at trollroom.io, noagendastream.com, or in that modern podcast app. You got it, podcastapps.com. End of show mixes from Professor Jay Jones, Stephen Jacobson, and Mr. Lee O'Lepuke. They always delight, all three of those guys. Thank you very much for joining us for your bi-weekly or twice-a-week media deconstruction. Coming to you from the heart of the Texas Hill Country, right here in Fredericksburg, home of the totality, on April 8th. In the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, I'm John C. Dvorak.
We return on Sunday, Easter Sunday. So join us if you can.
We're working.
We're working, that's right. Remember us at noagendadonations.com, dvorak.org/NA. Until then, adios, mo, foes, a hooey, hooey, and such.
In Mississippi, six former law enforcement officers,
Brett McAlpin, Jeffrey Middleton, Christian Deadman, Hunter Elwood, Daniel Opdyke, and Joshua Hartfield, each entered the Rankin County Courthouse, wrists shackled to their waist in jail suits. Those six officers pleaded guilty once again, this time to state charges.
Have received prison terms that add up to more than 130 years.
They had no warrant when they went to arrest or to torture the guys in the house. It was simply because they were in a house with a white female
and mocking, beating, and torturing them for more than an hour. That included the use of stun guns and sexual assault with a sex toy.
They used dildos or Eddie and Michael.
The former officers called themselves a goon squad because of their tendency to use excessive force and then cover it up.
Prosecutors today described the heinous acts that occurred during the raid on a Brexton home.
The depravity of the crimes committed by these defendants cannot be overstated.
We whip out his private parts and attempt to put it in the mouth of a defendant. It's so much sickness here.
Not only did they torture them, they were trying to plant drugs, they destroyed evidence.
It's so much sickness here.
You realize that people are still having
pull the man's hands down while handcuffed.
Perhaps they are perplexed.
Grabbed his genitals.
Holding hands that are making future plans.
Then dry humped him.
I don't think the sentences were, in fact, tough enough. I think these men should all spend the rest of their lives behind bars.
That if you do the crime, you're going to do the time. They use dildos.
This AIDS thing's not working.
Iceberg Weil, of course, the Western Australia has used a secret, actually a stinky weapon. The Weil released its massive bowels, triggering a tsunami. Stinky, but brutally effective, right?
Still processing everything, definitely.
No, just a little information. Okay. This was fake news. We're childish. I mean, there's 15-year-olds in us. Fascinating that the blast of poop.
Yeah, definitely wasn't expecting to see that kind of thing.
Tsunami. Two tsunami clips. Right. So, I mean, this is obviously a cause of great excitement for people who study these. And I'm wondering whether it was just the frightening aspect of being tracked by these killers. And maybe that's why you pooped. Just looking at the size of sperm whales, I'm guessing the bowels of said sperm whales would be huge.
Yes. Yeah.
We're childish. I mean, there's 15-year-olds in us. Fascinating that the blast of poop.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Okay, I'm now banning any more tsunami clips forever.
NBC Fake News, which is all up in arms about hiring Ronna Romney McDaniel, the former RNC chair. Michael Steele, who is also a former RNC chair, works at MSDNC too. Chunk, former Democrat campaign staffer, whose wife is a Bernie Sanders campaign staffer.
She is now a paid contributor. I have no idea whether any answer she gave to you was because she didn't want to mess up her contract.
Fire, Rana. Fire, fire, Rana. Fire, Rana. Fire, fire, Rana. Fire, Rana. Fire, fire, Rana. Fire, Rana, fire, fire, Rana. Higher, Rana, higher, higher, Rana. Higher, Rana, higher, higher, Rana. Fire, Rana, now.
Get her off the set.
Chairman of the NBC Universal News Group, Siva Conde, sent a memo rescinding the hiring of Rana Romney McDaniel.
Dvorak.org/NA.
Good work there, TikTok.